Hey guys, what's up? It's James and Nolan from Donut Media. We have a new podcast called Past Gas that comes out every Monday. This week's episode is super exciting. It's part one of a two-part series on Fordlandia, Henry Ford's racist utopia in Brazil.
It's a great story, one that we want you to hear. So check out Past Gas wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me, as usual, we got FIFO 24/7.
What it do?
Mr. Disrespect, Nikki Ducey from the No Disrespect Podcast.
I need all the pub I can get. Numbers need to keep increasing. How y'all doing?
Chilling. And BZ430.
What up, though? What up, though?
Just a real quick programming note. B will be leaving early today. But just wanted to let y'all know if he disappear.
Right, don't be surprised.
Yeah, okay? Don't be surprised.
And also, you can catch me tomorrow as well, Dead End Gaming. We'll be streaming tomorrow on Twitch, 7:30. Be sure
That's
to
right.
Out.
So I'm trying a slightly bit of an emergency setup here. So you guys let me know how the audio is coming across and if we sound good and crispy so I can make adjustments accordingly. But yeah, outside of that, man, let's just go ahead and jump into the show.
Hey, college football. Did y'all like these championship games? Did you watch any of them?
I watched all of them except Utah get their ass whooped by Oregon.
Yeah, I didn't care to see
I didn't even know they were on, and I'm glad I didn't watch it.
The only one I really watched was the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, which I was ready for Wisconsin to get in that ass.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed. we hate Ohio State, so yeah, I hate that Wisconsin has the great words of 12. Shout out to 12 Kyle. Today is his birthday, too, recording this. As we record,
yeah, shout out to Kyle.
12 Kyle, today's his birthday. Happy birthday, brother. Yeah, as he would say, lemon booty. Wisconsin went lemon booty. And I was mad that they, I want Ohio State to lose that game so bad. And then plus, I just want things to shake up.
Yeah, I
wanted some
that.
Stuff to shake up in the playoff yeah. matchups.
They still would have got in, though.
Really?
You think so? Even yep. with an L?
Yep.
Ohio State, you think so?
Yeah, because yep. Utah got their ass.
Yep,
whooped.
Utah
That's
got
why.
Beat, and I don't think Oklahoma's win. Over Baylor would have been good enough because they struggled against a right. third-string quarterback. So I think
I didn't think that game was supposed to be that close.
It wasn't, but Jalen Hurts turned the ball over. I think he fumbled, and then he had an interception. And
but why would you let a 9-Big Ten champ still be in the playoffs? Like why?
Because
not
they were the number one. I think they were the number one ranked team yeah. coming into the weekend. So when Alabama was number one, I think to your point, but they fell. I think. No, they were not number one.
They were number two.
Were they number one when they played LSU?
They were number two. They fell to like five.
Okay, so yeah. So with them being ranked number one, they would have fallen to four.
Mm.
So man, I think, but right. it's immaterial now.
It's constant one, the Big Ten, and you ain't letting them in the playoffs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want.
They've done that a couple times where they've let Ohio State in when they were supposed to. Like they didn't even win the conference, the Big Ten conference.
I think that happened with Alabama too that year when Alabama LSU.
Yeah, the rematch.
Yeah, well, they know because they got to get yeah. ratings too. They can't just yeah. have like Hawaii go in there if they undefeated.
Why the Samoans would have showed up,
man? Samoans showed up. This ain't Moana, all right? There's not enough of them to get rated. Like no one cares about that program enough to get rated.
This is true.
That's why it's like you got
just
have
like. These- and I know we're talking about college, but when I was watching Red Zone and they had the Arizona Pittsburgh game. That shit was like a Pittsburgh home game, man. It was nothing but yellow towels all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they were cheering loudly for Pittsburgh plays.
The
so
brand is strong.
Alabama would have done the same thing. They travel. So
I just want Clemson
to get all that money, though.
I just want Clemson to whoop Ohio State's ass. They've been blowing everybody out, but then Clemson haven't really been playing anybody, though.
Right. They haven't. And I watched the early part of that game, even though they won. For their championship game,
55-something.
Yeah, the first part of that, Virginia. They was going. They yeah. went down the field a little bit easy on them as far as like their mobile quarterback and shit like that. Even though he basically running back, it remind me of that dude from Michigan. What was it? The black quarterback that the time to
Denard Robinson.
Yeah,
Denard Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Denard Robinson. just like him.
Yeah,
but yeah, they couldn't do shit after that. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I watched. I watched that first one, which yeah, it shouldn't have been that close. But shout out to Jalen Hurts, man. I mean, Alabama at home, he in the CFP, so I think that's cool. He played terribly, but he made the big plays when he needed to. And I guess Baylor's defense is better than I thought.
Than advertised. Yeah.
Because they had a good scheme going on. This wasn't even a game, man. Best quarterback.
LSU, Jordan. I mean, Georgia.
Yes.
I didn't expect the massacre like that.
I did.
I kind of did.
I'm thinking like,
I know people like, I don't trust them Georgia Bulldogs. Never trust them Georgia squads.
At least keep within 10 or 15. Like, to get it, like, it was 30, it was like 3 to 34.
They played their ass out the playoffs. Yep. Because with Utah losing and Oklahoma struggling, like, if they would have kept it close and still lost, they still had, like I said last week, they still had an opportunity.
You did say that.
But damn, bro, you going to get your ass handed to you in the state of Georgia by 27?
They stayed in it for a while, but look, I've been saying it here and
Ken
there.
Been watching this. He watched that
Fromm
whole
thing. Fromm is not good, and I was appalled when I think Rex Ryan said he was one of the best quarterbacks, or he's an extremely talented quarterback, or something like that. He's not. Georgia has it, or this game that what's that coach name? Not Mark Richt, the one that replaced him, came out of Alabama.
Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart runs. It makes him look like that because he doesn't look good. It's very short, curl routes, slant routes, but it's all really underneath. And then they run the ball a lot, but it doesn't even look good. He is not that damn good. And they've been overhyping this white boy all year long, especially when the doubters started to call him out, especially when it come to find out that you look at the quarterbacks that they passed on. They had the guy that's in it now, Fields. They had a chance to get Deshaun Watson. They had a chance to get dynamic black quarterbacks that could throw in.
It was like three of them, like that we mentioned before. It was like Deshaun Watson, Fields, and somebody.
But I also want to say Fromm was the number one rated quarterback coming out of high school. So here's the thing, like Kent, I feel you. But at the end of the day, when you're recruiting, you're gonna go and when you're a big program like that, you're gonna go after the top five at every position. And they happen to land the number one guy coming out of high school. Now we can't project and know how great they're gonna be, but we know what they are coming in as a freshman. He was the number one quarterback.
He ain't play like it.
I feel you, and I'm not saying that he hasn't. I agree with you. And I think, you know, look, when people have talent like that and it's just not shining through, it's not always that player. Oftentimes it is the coaching. It could be the environment. It could be a lot of different things. And I'm not saying that he is the best quarterback in high school or college football, but what I'm saying is I believe he's better than what he's been able to display.
I don't know, but that's why I did want to be fair and mention the Kirby Smart's scheme.
And then one day, wide receiver, I know one was suspended for a half.
Yeah, pick a nigga.
Yeah, the one that slammed my man up against the damn wall. Yeah.
Extremely talented.
Wasn't somebody else injured?
Swift, his shoulder was hurt, so he wasn't as effective. But he had two great catches in the second half, and you showed that why he was missed, and they could have actually used him. So that game was a blowout. Joe Burrow is the truth. Number one college player out there. Best quarterback in college right now. Cincinnati will be lucky to have him.
I was
going
to say, number one pick Cincinnati. Hey.
They'll be lucky to have him.
We're going to make you or break you.
But when you look at what the talent that they have the quitter, and they have Joe Mixon, and they have Tyler Boyd.
Don't disrespect AJ Green like that.
AJ Green,
just because he lost your fantasy season for you.
y'all think what if Clemson just so happened to win this playoff winning championship? What would we say about Sweeney?
He's one of the best.
They've already
because that'd be like what three? That'd be three ships for him in 4 years or 5 years, something like that. Ships in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So what would you say about like that dynasty?
They're propping him up to be the next Nick Saban. They think he's going to dominate
27 games straight. Yeah,
they think he's going to dominate. Trevor Lawrence has never lost a game. Like ever since he started, he's never lost a game, which is insane.
But he legit though. He the real deal. Ain't got a question nothing about that man being the number one pick when it's his time.
Yeah, is he coming out next year?
Whoop Ohio State ass, and I hope and that'll be dope.
But everybody keep on saying this is the best Ohio State team ever.
Everybody says that.
Yep. But man, fuck Ohio State.
That's why I like the matchup.
I do too. Clemson Ohio State, that's going
to
be a game.
Every time Ohio State gets to this point, it's always 50-50. More likely they're going to lose the game than win because they facing like the big boys. He's the country, grass fed motherfuckers. Right. They're like, nah,
this ain't that Big Ten, that Midwest down shit. South. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's why I hope Clemson whooped that ass.
But I fuck with Fields, but I think with his, well, he had an MCL sprain in his knee. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They gonna keep coming after that because I know Wisconsin was definitely trying to fuck him up.
Hell yeah,
game.
They was. They was physical.
Banging
as hell.
His ass.
They
I was like, physical. And I was wondering why he was running a lot too. I'm like, bro, you know this is one hitter quitter. Like mm-hmm. you can end up like Tua just in the next play, but. Yep. It worked out for them, so I don't know. Who you want to see in the championship? Obviously LSU.
LSU and Clemson?
And Clemson?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's the best matchup, though.
I'm going to say the best matchup.
Possibly. Well, obviously, you know, obviously Ohio State is the best Ohio State team going against LSU, which is the best team this year. I think that's a good matchup. But I think Trevor Lawrence, I think this is his opportunity to kind of cement number one for next year, mm-hmm. regardless of however his season goes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, if they win and he puts on, like, you know, a virtuoso type performance. I'm here for that. Yeah. I'm here for that. I'll pay.
You think
ears.
It's a shootout
between who?
Ohio State and Clemson.
I think so. I
wouldn't be surprised if we get like a 39-42.
Yeah, I think something like that too. Yeah.
I was gonna say high 20s, low 30s.
I feel like Ohio State secondary is a little bit overrated. Like
you think
I think
so?
You could throw on them if you know. If you got the quarterback,
yeah, I mean Ohio State, they good and all, they balanced and
they got
all, but
their front, I just you know, hate seven them. Is, yeah, I know you hate yeah. them, but their front seven is not is nasty. I think that's what most of yeah. the, you know wins come from. But,
yeah, from that front seven. Yeah, they front seven is, damn, they're an oil machine, man. Ohio State is an oil machine. Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna be a shootout, man. Yeah. I don't think Clemson's defense is that good. They haven't played anybody. Ohio State defensively has struggled. We saw evidence of that, even though they turned it around in the second half, in the first half against Wisconsin and also against Michigan. So now they get a powerhouse. But I think Clemson, Dabo Swinney's been talking a lot of shit. He got to back it up now, and we'll see.
Hey,
but
I fuck with Dabo Swinney.
I do too.
He be talking shit like it ain't yeah. like he Teflon Don.
He talking shit like he out there about to suit up.
Yeah, I know, right?
Man.
Yeah, he's good. I like him a lot, but. And I love the matchup. I think this is a championship matchup. Finals for it all is just unfortunately in the first round, and then it'll be LSU versus one of those squads. I still think LSU is going to win it all.
They look like the most dominant football team in the whole.
I think they just faced their best defense.
So you want to see LSU and Ohio State as the championship matchup?
Oh, man. And that's why I'm torn because I love Ohio State.
That would be a rematch.
You love Ohio State?
I do like Ohio State, yeah. I do love Ohio State. I don't know why, man. I have an affinity for them. And then Clemson, man. Clemson Dabo has a place in my heart, too.
I got you.
I like him a lot. So that's going to be tough, man, because I'm going to be rooting for both teams. Mm. So I did want to see it play out like this because I did want to see LSU in the finals.
So we just not give Oklahoma a chance.
I was about to say, like, you don't think
no. No. They can't
hurt their defense.
They can't stop a nosebleed, huh?
Yeah, no, they defensively they're not that good.
Nah,
yeah.
They never been.
Yeah.
To be honest.
That's always been like the stereotype of Big 12 teams is like they great play, offensively,
they
but
they play flag football.
Yeah,
that's what
they don't play no defense.
But I gotta give Ohio State and then we'll move on. But I gotta give them a lot of props because I had
Ryan
out,
Day. Shout
yeah,
out to him.
Yeah. I had to ran out to it wasn't looking all that great. And I checked the score, I was like halftime 21-7. What the hell's going on? And then I got back to the crib, it was like 21-17. We're like, what the fuck happened? Like, yeah. And then they just
Ryan Day is a
destroyed them
great boys. Second half coach.
Yeah, man.
Because like you said, I've been noticing that too. Their trend of like they fall flat in the first half, and then second half they just they come back strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, but overall, good matchups outside of the LSU game.
All right, so we can go to the NFL. I think the best game of the week so far is the San Francisco Saints game. The only question I got for y'all from that is, what do we learn from that
That's
game?
The only question you got?
Well,
it's
I know
time.
I don't want to ask no more. I don't want to stick on this too much because you want to talk about Jimmy G and shit, and I don't give a fuck about
he's
it.
He's 3-2, so he's passed the record that we said.
He's beat my record that I said. He's
going to be 2-6.
4 as a starter.
As a starter, yeah. That's crazy.
We wonder, and I think FIFA and I was like, hey, he's going to start off slow. He's going to play himself back into game shape, into game form, decision-making. And this second half, he's starting to look like that guy. I mean, he put up 40 – they put up 46. Is that right? 48.
Yeah. 48. 48 to 46.
48 on the Saints.
At the Saints. Right?
At the Saints.
Yeah. That voodoo is real. Yeah. And you want to know evidence? That 46 points they gave up. Because that defense don't give up points like
they
that.
Sure not like
don't.
That.
But
they
you sure give don't. It up in New Orleans because I don't know what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I talked about this last week as far as the Saints being like the forgotten Super Bowl contending mm-hmm. team, it seems like whenever we do pay attention to them, something like this happens. Like when the Atlanta Falcons beat them, I think it was at home as well.
I do want to say this. For everybody that watched last show, I was completely wrong. I thought it was going to be a beatdown. I don't know if the Niners were going to beat the shit out of the Saints.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
they did not. They actually had.
I thought it was going to be a defensive matchup. I didn't expect it to be a shootout.
I did.
It'd been different if it was the Saints going to San Fran.
I was completely wrong about
that. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when they were, I looked at like the recap. I'm like, damn, the Niners were down 20-7. Why did we got to talk about Sean Payton?
All right, what you got to say? Yeah, we ain't got to say shit. You got something to say.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Because I want to get back to kind of you questioning Tomlin.
I didn't question Tomlin. I brought up a question about Tomlin.
Why are we not questioning Payton?
I brought it up about Payton, too.
This man had Drew Brees. But forget all that. I don't want to. What was up with the – why did he go for 2 points?
You play to win the game.
He went for 2 points.
What Cuz said?
Hold the hell on. I clearly remember last year against
the
Colts.
You want to go back to the Colts?
But now you use that. Go ahead, by all means. Go ahead.
I'm saying it's totally different.
Yeah. What
do you always say? Context, right? Context. Context is that game was a shootout. Sean Payton.
I'm talking about this was early, though. This was the second touchdown of the game. They went.
I thought
two.
You were talking about the last one with when Trey.
At that point, they had to go for it.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the one I was thinking about.
Oh no! I'm talking about like when they scored that second touchdown.
Oh yeah, that's Sean Payton just.
Yeah, that's.
I
just
mean,
like,
he went for
doing?
The onside kick in the Super Bowl. So I mean, that's just a
that
part
was
of his
years ago.
But so, that's and, but, oh, that's part of his MO.
That's his MO okay. as a, right, as a risky
what about,
coach.
What about the fake punt though?
He got too greedy,
and then he mad. He made some bad calls, man. He made some bad calls that cost that team.
But Ken, they're only bad calls when they don't work. But when they work, we call them one of the genius, greatest.
Yeah. We call those difference makers.
Exactly. And the thing is that you have to take those opportunities. If it's your MO, if you're like who's like the most Andy conservative?
Reed. Ron Rivera.
Like Ron Rivera, like you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, come on, dog. You're doing too much.
That's messed up. That's I know, messed right? up, Ken.
like you're doing too much. But the Sean Paynes of the world, Sean McVays of the world, you know what I'm saying? The Andy Reeds, even though we know Andy Reid isn't really a gadget guy, but if he pulls something out of his hat, like we're not going to question him. Those are good calls depending on the coaches.
But he should be questioned. I understand that that's what he does, but he should be questioned. He's getting a pass. If that was any other coach.
You know why?
That was a good loss, though, for him.
No, it was. You toss that up. You chalk it up.
That wasn't
next week.
A good loss. You're at home. And your defense can stop Jimmy G in the 40.
But you're talking about the arguably the best team in the NFC. This was for bragging rights.
They are the number one seed right now.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's three teams in the NFC that can say that they're the best. The Saints, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. And the 49ers already beat both of them. And they were
– They haven't beaten the Seahawks yet.
Yeah, they lost.
Oh, yeah, they lost to the Seahawks.
They beat the Packers. I'm you may tripping. Be thinking about the Packers.
And didn't they beat the Patriots? Who beat the Patriots? I'm tripping.
Only
either
black
way,
QBs beat the Patriots.
Yeah, the Negroes.
Yeah,
two and a half.
They taking a tour.
Right,
but at either way, this right here was for bragging rights, and like we agreed, Ken. Like Jimmy G was gonna. We knew that he had this type of ability, right? We knew that the system and the organization mm-hmm. was in place. Mm-hmm. We just needed to do it. And
we
he did it on the biggest stage so far this season.
And while we gave him his props, we did, you know, question like, okay, this is great,
right?
But can you do it when it matters? Yep. Can you put up the points?
Do you have another level?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you have that championship level? Because, you know, it's levels to quarterbacking. Like you have a quarterback that, you know, may be good just for the moment. You got rebuilding quarterbacks. You got young quarterbacks and what their skill set is. And with Jimmy G, just a small sample size that we've seen, the man could play. But does he have that Pro Bowl ability? Does he have that superstar ability? You know what I'm saying? And this season, he's proving it. He's proven it.
He's balling, man.
He's been inconsistent. That's what I was going to say.
That Kittle was balling.
Let's give a credit to Kittle. Because that man, ever since, what was it, last year? When he he's probably arguably the best tight end in the league right now.
Like it's being discussed.
Like, even though Travis Kelce,
he's been
inconsistent. But Kittle, that was all Kittle. That was supposed to be like
That wasn't all Kittle. I'm going to tell you why it became all Kittle. That damn Saints DB that fell on his damn face. He missed the tackle.
I don't know how he missed it.
And he was right there. And he just slid off of him. And at that point, it was nothing but wide open
field. And then the other guy, he was just grabbing face masks trying to punch the dude.
Like, yeah, Kittle's force came when he was all the way down pretty much in field goal range.
Yeah.
And then he just drugged the rest of the team, and then they committed the face mask, of course. But that was a – and what I was about to say is this man is playing with the fracture, I think, in his foot.
Yeah.
That requires surgery.
Yes, and he's out there balling.
Getting shot up every every quarter.
No, he is.
So you want us to put pressure on Sean Payton?
Well, I mean, this man has Drew Brees. He has one Super Bowl. We criticize Aaron Rodgers for only having one Super Bowl, and then what is he supposed? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's supposed to be top five. You know, we talk about him only having one Super Bowl. He's played in two, though, right?
Sean Payton?
Aaron Rodgers. He's only played in one?
He's played in one.
But we're talking about him only having one Super Bowl. Why don't we talk about Drew Brees only having one Super Bowl?
Yep.
We talk about Sean Payton being this great coach, which he is a good coach, but he only has one Super Bowl with his elite
narrative.
Quarterback.
Yeah, I'll
say
that. Yeah.
Narrative. Because Drew Brees.
You talking about the bounty shit?
Well, no, no.
Which he got
just the last 2 years.
Let's talk about Drew Brees, right? Let's talk about player for player, right? Aaron Rodgers was. Even though he fell in the draft, mm-hmm. he was more highly touted than Drew Brees, if my recollection serves correct.
He was.
Right? He was kind of not in favor with the Chargers, was going to sign with Miami, and then all of a sudden made the move to New Orleans, right? So he kind of bounced around. So the narrative around Drew Brees was never greatest of all time. It was like, damn, you overcame your height, your deficiencies, and all of this stuff.
He was out the league.
You know, he was literally almost out the league, Ken. And the thing that separated Drew Brees was his accuracy. Wasn't his height, wasn't the strength of his arm, the arm talent, right? He was just purely accurate. And he got a head coach, luckily, Sean Payton, that was able to maximize that. Just think about for a good period, kind of like Tom Brady, for a good period of, especially early on with the Saints, his best wide receiver was a seventh-round draft pick. What was his name? Tall black guy. I just had it and I forgot.
Drew Brees or Brady?
Drew Brees.
Colston.
Marquise Colston.
I remember Colston.
Seventh-round pick, bro. Like, just think about.
And he made him like a household name.
Like a household name. Yeah. Just think about how many people have come and left New Orleans and they weren't the same after
Jimmy Graham.
Left. Yeah. Jimmy Graham.
Remember, Jimmy Graham was like elite tight end playing with him.
And now, like, what is he, right? So so we have to give Drew Brees props for being able to elevate the people that are around him.
That's
and
what
Sean
makes
Payton,
him great. Yep.
That's what makes him great. And Sean Payton just crafting these schemes. When we look at Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers has arguably the best arm to ever play. And we saw that early. Because, what, he sat, 2 years? For Brett Favre?
Yeah, 2 years.
He sat 2 years for Brett Favre, and as soon as he came in.
More than that. Yeah.
It felt like it.
Because no one else does that no more.
Exactly. Yeah. But as soon as he came in and we saw that arm throw, who can you compare him to? Like, because obviously there's guys that have stronger arms. Like, Mike Vick had a stronger arm. But
Jamarcus Russell.
But we're talking about making every throw from any platform before Mahomes. There was nobody better than Aaron Rodgers.
What about the production on the field?
Well, I was just going to say the last 2 years.
Because everything sounds great by what
Drew
you're
Brees
saying.
Drew Brees has been one.
But Drew Brees was right there with Peyton freaking Manning.
But he was one. These last 2 years, he's been one mistake, one missed call away from being back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yep.
Minnesota.
So that's why it's like, and you can't.
He's right there.
You can't say that about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but he didn't go. But he didn't get there.
But arguably, you can make a case that he should be there or should have won.
But he didn't.
But he didn't get there.
But again, context, Ken, it wasn't because of Drew Brees. Drew Brees put
his team.
You
know what?
Last year, he put his team in position to win that game.
Yep.
Yes or no?
He did, Ken.
I don't recall.
He did. Ken, like, I don't ask the questions.
Skip Bayless over here.
But, okay. You both are making valid points, but forget the last 2 years. What about prior to that? What about when he was heralded up there with Tom Brady, with Peyton Manning? It was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees.
And they were all and just like you
and
said,
Aaron Rodgers.
Just like you said, that they were always in a conversation. New Orleans was always right there, knocking on the door. Like it wasn't.
New Orleans
it,
wasn't. They had losing seasons.
They had, but not
consistently.
Yes, they did.
They missed two. They missed two players. They missed of the last probably eight seasons. They missed the playoffs twice.
Yeah, remember their defense sucked. And yeah, but unlike Aaron Rodgers,
but that was during bounty. That was also during the Bounty Gate era as well.
We know that messed
them
up.
Yeah, so that messed them up. So that's why they get an excusable pass. But I think with your point of Drew Brees again, with FIFO saying the narrative, like a lot of people like Drew Brees, they were damn near about to give him the MVP last year if it wasn't for Mahomes just balling out. So I think that with you get some more leeway with that. That's all it is. And then also, like I just mentioned recently, he should have been in those Super Bowls. So we could be having a different discussion.
When did Drew Brees go to New Orleans?
It had to be. It was before Katrina, right?
Well, Katrina was 2005. So
okay,
he was there before.
Maybe, like 2004, 2003 maybe. Yeah.
Well, 2005 they went 3-13. So I don't think that was Drew Brees. 2006.
Yeah, it was. It had to have been Drew Brees.
I think 06 was Drew Brees. They were 10-6. I don't think Drew Brees went 3-13 with New Orleans.
They was balling before they. Because
I think that 3-13 year was when they won a Super Bowl.
I'm just trying to keep that same energy.
Either way, Ken. Look.
Trying to keep that same energy. We jump on it.
Fine. We can go from 05. We can go from 05. I'm looking at 05. 05, they were 3-13. Next year in 06, they lost the conference. They were 10-6. They went 7-9, 8-8. They were 13-3. They won the Super Bowl in 09. In 2010, they went 11-5. In 2011, 13-3. 2012, 7-9. 13, 11-5. Then they've been 7-9, 7-9, 7-9. And then 11-5.
That's the stretch.
13-3. And then 10-3. But in that stretch of being 7-9, who was good? The Falcons.
Yeah, but you still went 7-9, and you were a top four quarterback. Aaron Rodgers just started losing, and he had to get hurt to do that.
And you know what? But we also know from the division, right? The NFC South has the biggest turnover
during that era. That was when Cam Newton was getting into his prime.
Exactly,
7-9 seasons.
I'm not excusing. It's not a pass, but that division was balling.
He got a pass. There's no denying man got a pass. Peyton Manning couldn't win. 7-9 years in a row.
Ken, but
am I lying?
Peyton Manning never.
Hold on, but his division was never that competitive. And that's the point that I'm trying to make to you. If you have three teams out of four that are legitimately cannibalizing each other, there's going to be an odd man out.
It shouldn't have been a top four quarterback in the league.
But Ken, at that time, both Carolina's roster and the Falcons' roster was better than New Orleans' roster. And they had two MVPs in that time. You talking about Matt Ryan and Cam.
Peyton Manning didn't go 7-9. Brady didn't win 7-9.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers just went 7-9.
Let me ask you this. Who else won MVP in Peyton Manning's division?
Stop giving this man a pass.
I wait.
I'm just saying.
That's not a pass.
Energy.
Ken, that's not a pass. If you have the best player playing in your division, it doesn't matter where the hell you rank, and there's another team in your division, bro, somebody's going to miss it. And unfortunately, they just had to be New Orleans for them 3 years.
But he had a lot of winning teams, went to one Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this.
He won it. You read off the record.
So if we're talking about wins and losses, how many winning seasons to losing seasons, Ken? I'll wait. There's more winning seasons to losing seasons.
In the chat, they say Drew Brees came to the New Orleans in 06.
So he took over. Hold on. So you're talking about this man took over a 3-13 team and changed it 7 games.
Congratulations. And he won them Super Bowl.
And
won.
The NFC, and we also know the NFC is way harder than the AFC.
Wait, hold on. So now we're judging football players by the number of Super Bowls they have?
I don't.
But then why are you using that for your argument? Why are you using it for your argument?
This man last night was talking about Tomlin had all that talent, but he only got one Super Bowl.
I didn't say it like that. I didn't say it like that.
You said it like that. That's how I heard it in my head when I read it.
This is a conversation. We've had this conversation before.
And I'm saying, and taking that and say, okay, well, you know,
apply
if
we
look,
we
look across the
hey, that's, hey, that's your fight.
No, I was going to say, no, this is what he do when he can't make an argument for Tomlin. He move it on to another. He kick the ball.
I want equality. I demand equality in America.
And we do that, but we were talking about Mike Tomlin.
I do that.
No, because the conversation was Mike Tomlin. And I was like, this is great what he's doing. He's 8-5. He's not. He's still continuing.
Showing that he can coach.
He's still continuing.
Peyton to do that, and he had Drew Brees.
Did he go
8-5?
He doesn't have a losing record. He's never had a losing record. Nope. Shout out to Mike Tomlin. Sure don't. Superb job he's doing this season.
Outstanding.
However.
Coach of the year.
If we're going to talk about him being a great coach, we also got to talk about, like, well.
Thank you. Stop right there. Why are we not saying that about Sean Payton? Why don't we say that shit about Andy Reid? Andy Reid went to one Super Bowl and lost. Nigga ain't been back since. He has talent. He might not get back there again. And he has one of the greatest quarterbacks in
Mike
the NFL
Tomlin
right
has
now.
Had more talent on his team than the Saints throughout the A.B., Big Ben, Le'Veon.
I don't know if that's true. I heard a lot of wins on. I heard a lot of wins on that team.
The Steelers have had hellacious
defenses. They had a good
defenses.
Run. They, yeah. had, a, like, they like, had a good run.
Like, if we're talking offense to offense.
They haven't had hellacious defense. But
do you forget Troy Polamalu played for Mike Tomlin?
And that, those were.
Do you forget James
years.
Harrison?
And that's, but,
those
but,
are during that era that and, you was talking
and
about.
He went, and he went to two Super Bowls. He won one and lost one. Who hasn't been to another Super Bowl?
Why hasn't
Peyton
he gone to more?
I'll
put it to you like this, though, Ken. The Pittsburgh Steelers' damn near worst defense is almost better than the Saints' best defense.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying we just gotta have the same energy. We're gonna criticize
this man. With the
why
talent.
We not jumping on? Why we jumping on the other Negroes that only have one Super Bowl?
Because he should have went to coaches. More. He should have went to more Super Bowls.
So should have
Sean Payton. Okay, that's fair to say. I mean,
give me the same energy,
I don't disagree with you on the Sean Payton issue, but when we talk about Mike Tomlin, that's still the same issue.
But what I want to hear is Mike Tomlin. I want to hear Andy Reid. I want to hear Sean Payton. Who else?
Bro, it's Pete Carroll.
Hey, that's fair. He been to two. Hey. He been to two.
You just care about them being there, right? That's all you want to say. How many times you get there?
I'm just saying if we're gonna be critical of guys only winning one Super Bowl,
he made
team,
that call not to give it to Lynch.
Yeah, that he cost himself that.
Yeah,
if he doesn't win another Super Bowl,
Aaron Rodgers gonna come back to bite him. That will always be a mark on his resume.
But I'm just saying, moving forward, if we're gonna always jump on this black man that hasn't had a losing season, that has been winning, and we give other white coaches or other coaches a pass. I just don't think that's fair. That's not right.
I'm gonna keep it a buck. I'm a Bengals fan. I don't really want to give it. I don't even want to talk about Mike Tomlin like that.
That's why you be talking about his ass. That's
but
why you
I got.
Dissonant.
But I'm the one who's the most objective when it comes to me. When it comes to me and you talking about Mike Tomlin, I'm the most objective person. Because you always want to just gloss. You want to just glorify all of this shit. That's good, obviously. But we also got to keep it real. His locker room was a mess. Was it not?
But it wasn't because of him.
I'm not saying
though.
Because of him, but it was his locker room.
What did I say last year, Nick?
It was his locker room.
What did I say last year? Didn't I say I'd get rid of both of them Negroes?
You sure did.
Come on, man. I keep it fair, but I'm not going to penalize the man because he only
won. But we talk about
him. Because he's 1-1 in the Super
Bowl. But if we're talking about head coaches, we're talking about how you manage the team, how you get your team to success. And he has dealt with a lot of dysfunction, which his players have said some of that is on him.
And he won 13 games amidst that dysfunction.
And they didn't make the Super Bowl that year, did they?
He cleaned out that locker room.
He cleaned out
that locker room.
Did they make the Super Bowl? Are they going to make the Super Bowl this year?
Did Drew Brees make the Super Bowl last year? Did Drew Brees make the Super Bowl before
the year before? He got further than Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin didn't even get to the playoffs last
year. Hold on,
hold on. He's asking to get to the Super Bowl, and that's your question.
So what I'm hearing is this Mike Tomlin versus Sean Payton?
This is Mike Tomlin versus white coaches
versus
that
everybody.
Don't get that same type of criticism.
Mike Tomlin versus the world. I'm gonna get you a T-shirt. That's it.
But just for this argument, right? We're comparing Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin, correct?
Kyle brought up Andy Reid, which I thought was a fair point because Andy Reid has had talent and he's played in a Super Bowl and he lost to the Patriots, but he ain't been back. Now, what are we going to say about him? Because they still herald him as a genius coach.
But you got to understand, like again, like there's levels to it. The reason why we herald Andy Reid as one of these genius coaches,
we understand
all that. But he's had tremendous success, yes or no?
Yes.
Right? So if we're only calling a Super Bowl win success, then I think we're short-sighting a lot of other accomplishments that coaches can have.
I just want the criticism to be even across the board.
I feel you. But hold on.
Okay.
What's next? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your point.
Nah, we good. We good. Go ahead. We can move on.
Speaking of black coaches, all right, I got one for you, Ken. Are you impressed with how Brian Flores has ended off this season, especially how they started?
What am I supposed to be impressed by?
They got some good wins.
They got 3 wins.
They turned – well, from where they started, it was talking about a revolt.
They got rid of Kenyon Drake, who's been okay in Arizona, but Arizona sucked. They got rid of
– Fitzpatrick.
Minka.
Minka Fitzpatrick. We all know that they're tanking. I will say that considering the way the season started with Kenny Stills and everything that went down, I think he's done an admirable job managing through that turmoil. I think he felt a little bit more comfortable when they backed him. That remains to be seen. We know how this can go. And I'm pulling for the brother. I want to see him with talent on that team, so I'm not going to dog him. Plus, I think they got a black GM, too. So I'm all for Miami right now, as long as those two pieces stay on the board.
You know who I'm impressed with, though? Speaking of a player that played with Miami, freaking Ryan Tannehill. Where is this?
6-1.
Where is this rebirth?
They've won out of the last 7 games. They won.
Dude, we was labeling this guy as a bum,
as a bust.
Like, that's crazy how he's going to a different situation. That shows you how
in the same division.
That shows you how important a coaching and just system plays into your development.
And nobody's talking about the Titans like that too, because that's one of my questions.
And they still in the hunt.
Can they make the playoffs interesting?
What else does it show, B?
What?
With that Ryan Tannehill,
Miami's
being
dysfunctional.
6-1. Nope. That's part of it.
Marcus Mariota.
There you go, my brother.
Same energy as we should give him the same.
I always said it on this podcast many times.
This is not
worst
about you.
One and two.
This is about everybody else that failed to criticize Marcus Mariota.
But
this
be quick man, to criticize Jameis Winston.
This man got benched for Ryan Tannehill, and they went 6-1.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, that's what we do, man. We're gonna keep it real around here.
That's the theme of this show tonight. Keep the same
energy. Same energy.
Same energy.
That's why Cash said he knew the title of the show already.
Yeah, exactly. He was over there stewing too.
Well, the title is Jimmy G's and Hustlers.
What? That's the title for real.
Oh my goodness, man. I don't even know why I'm on this episode.
You had
now.
It. Oh my God, that's hilarious, dude.
Was that an impressive win from the Chiefs?
No. It was not.
Beating the Pats in Foxborough ain't
absolute.
Impressive.
Did you watch
He's the only QB under 25 to beat the Pats in Foxborough.
Congratulations.
Of the last 25 games.
Did you see the second half?
I saw the second half.
Hot mess.
But he won.
Barely.
It's all about wins and losses, right?
And they first time beating them in 20. I think it was Patriots' first loss at Gillette Stadium.
It was.
Yeah,
it was
impressive.
A brother.
Yeah, and a brother.
And a win is a win. We only count W's and losses. Well, you do. But your question was it impressive? That second half did not impress me. That first half did.
Yeah, the first half
they
looked
sharp. They were going to run off, but you got a fumble. Oh, boy, should have. Harry should have scored. Mm-hmm. That fumble was a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So, nah. And then they got a punt block. Nah, man, that wasn't impressive.
Their defensive held up on that last drive.
I mean, the Patriots suck offensively. I'm questioning their defense, too. They look bad. I thought it was just a bunch of media hype. You know, they tend to jump on the Patriots when they have a couple of losing and panic. Man, when I saw those receivers and I saw that pressure and Brady just closing his eyes and throwing it, I have never seen him play like that.
You know
that.
Brady's the worst quarterback right now against the Blitz?
Yep. And he's like in the 20s in QBR or something like that.
But has he always been like that?
Nah.
You wouldn't want to. You can't blitz Tom Brady.
Nope.
You were scared to blitz him.
Exactly. The greatest quarterbacks, right? Like the Drew Breeses, the Tom Bradys, the Peyton Mannings of the world. When you blitz him, Russell Wilson, like this. Out.
You
and if you want to keep doing that, think about it. You're bringing so much pressure. I get the ball out like this. One missed tackle is a 30, 40-yard play.
Yep. Yeah.
But so you don't want to.
But the receivers can't adjust. They can't adjust. They don't know what to do. They don't know the audibles.
So let me ask you, like, do you think that the offense is because of Tom Brady that it's bad?
Mm-mm.
I just think that I forgot what.
Y'all know how I feel about Brady. I don't care for this man.
Yeah, whatever national pundit said it. But I agree that Tom Brady, at year 42, can't overcome the deficiencies.
Right. That's what it is.
Like it doesn't matter how great Tom Brady is. Like, he can't overcome what's happening now.
Because he's a statue.
5 years ago, but he was always a statue. Yep.
No, but I'm just saying, in this day and age,
it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because 5 years ago, day one when he started, he was a statue, bro. They didn't run bootlegs and nothing for him. But the greatness of Tom Brady was able to overcome all of that. Mm-hmm. The greatness of Tom Brady is too old to overcome that.
And that's what I was going with, as far as, like, we talk about the Sean McVays and what's been going on with him. This last game against Seattle, he moved the pocket. If Goff is getting pressured and that's fucking up him being accurate and how he gets the ball out, then let's be creative. That was the one thing that I was surprised by Belichick that he didn't really do, but maybe he can't do it.
We know what Tom Brady is, right? Just like we know what LeBron is in year 17, whatever a year is for Tom Brady. Yeah. We know what they are. The thing is just like Tim Duncan. You know what I'm saying? Like when you got aging superstars, you know what they are. Why are we going to start moving the pocket now? Did they ever move the pocket for Peyton Manning?
Thanks,
nah. You can't. Mm-hmm. Here and there, of course, goal line situation. Of course, you could do little stuff like that. But in as part of your scheme, your game plan? No. The problem now is that I still think Tom Brady's a top 10 quarterback. He don't have
a top 10 quarterback.
Nah,
the numbers don't suggest it.
Then what are we going off?
Bro. But what I'm saying is, if you give him, let's just say somehow, some way, you give him an
open. All right, we drinking. So no, who we got?
What AB was there?
You talking about T.O.?
Did Tom Brady look like this?
You say the young Megatron?
No, he didn't. Not when AB was there.
Let me ask you now. AB was there for 1 week,
FIFO. We give him one.
Tom Brady look like that?
About one game.
Nick, hold on. I got it. Who did they play against?
I don't remember. It don't matter, though.
The competition matters, and that's
I get that. I get that.
Talking about Brady. Yeah.
But we also know that AB is a upper tier, upper echelon wide receiver. Yes or no?
Not upper. He's one of the best.
And all I'm saying is, I think Tom Brady's still good enough that he don't need a top 5 wide receiver. Give him a top 15, bruh. Get him, man, Sammy Watkins.
He just needs some receivers with high IQ, and apparently that ain't Sanu.
Sanu is a third option at best.
I don't know what they were doing
at
with that.
Yeah. That was all they could get.
I like that.
They had the top 15.
They should have kept Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I don't
get
that.
It must have been something else with him.
But didn't he get picked up by somebody else?
Yeah, Seattle. He balling. See? This is my thing.
Man.
For years, every time the Patriots made a move like the Josh Gordon move, and even Demaryius Thomas move, right? We would praise him. Now,
but
it ain't working out.
Don't pay off.
Huh?
Demaryius Thomas didn't pay off.
No, I understand that.
Floyd didn't pay off.
I understand that. And that's the point that I'm making.
And AB didn't pay off.
And that's the point that I'm making, okay, is that in the past, we would give them
praise
for these
stuff
moves.
That don't work.
But it worked for them. It worked from in the past, it did, Ken. In the past, it worked from a salary cap perspective. It worked from a draft perspective, getting more draft picks.
He can't even draft well. What's next?
Real quick, about Jameis Winston, because, he's been putting up crazy numbers, four touchdowns and, two INTs or three INTs. If he keeps that up, will you look at him as, the Black Brett Favre? Because let's not forget, Brett Favre threw a shitload of interceptions, too.
Most ever.
That was why I said Brett Favre and Manny talking about, yeah, but you had two MVPs. But that's not. Anyway,
it's still early. What if this is Jameis Winston's trajectory?
We're talking about turnovers.
What was Brett Favre's first 5 years like?
Boo-boo. Because, two years he
made the
playoffs for the Falcons, and he was on the bench.
Yeah.
So, he just
boo-boo.
He wasn't that good until, year four.
Yeah, it was, three or four.
I think he's probably asking when he got to Green Bay.
When he got to Green Bay,
but we're talking
about up and down.
Well, I was just saying the first five, because you can only judge Jameis off these five.
Right.
So, if that's the same, if he's on the same course.
And here's the thing. Who's the head coach out there in Tampa now?
Arians.
And you know I'm super big on Bruce Arians.
You can't work with him.
Not at first. Look, man, a marriage.
Jameis.
A marriage. Said
that? I'm saying this season was all about.
He said that early on. But here's the thing, though. Marriages.
Bruce Arians said that?
No.
Marriages aren't all the same.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Right? Sometimes marriages, you get in it and you got a little bit of work and then it's fruitful at the end. Some people could just get married and boom, everything's gravy. With this marriage between Arians and Jameis, it looked rocky at the beginning.
It was a shotgun wedding.
But we're starting to see, right? Mm-hmm. The Bruce Arians system, get the ball down the field. They got Mike Evans, even though I know he's hurt now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Chris, and Chris Goodwin,
Godwin, looking good. Damn, he had a phenomenal season.
Too. You know what I'm saying? So let Bruce get his thing going. Let Bruce get his thing going, and we're gonna see Jameis do better. I'm not saying that he's gonna be league MVP. I'm not saying that they're gonna win.
He might not even be there.
I think he is gonna be there.
He coming back next year?
Who?
Jameis. Yeah.
Okay, so
I doubt that.
I got.
So what do you? So what do you think is gonna happen?
Move on. We gonna move on and draft another QB.
Nah.
With Bruce Arians, that's
they're not.
I think
be
it depends
enough
on where they fall in the draft. And
that's what I'm saying. They're not gonna be high enough.
So what if trade up?
But what if there's okay? But what if they don't have the ability to trade up?
Why not? Don't they have? They have assets. They haven't given up.
What if the
ones.
People, the teams ahead of them, want the quarterback? Yep. So those are the things we have to.
There's not that many teams that need a good quarterback right now. As far as like that would be willing to trade
Miami
up.
Miami don't need one. I have to play.
Miami's not going to be able to.
Miami's going to be already top three. So they don't. It's not like they're going to trade up.
I think we have right. What we have: Joe Burrow, we have
Tua,
Herbert. We have maybe Tua.
No, Tua going.
Tua
he's coming out. He's coming out.
Yeah, this is. I mean, this is well, joint.
Well, he said that he's considering going back to Alabama.
He's coming out.
But yeah,
he
should come out.
He's coming out.
Jalen Hurts is coming out too, right? Justin Herbert, Burrows. There's the kid from Utah.
Outside of the top two, I'm not taking none of them quarterbacks over Jameis. I'm just not. Outside of Tua and the buddy from LSU, I'm not saying, because those other guys are projects. At least I know what Jameis is. Jameis is a gunslinging, high turnover, but he has the arm to produce in Bruce Arians' system. He has a year in already into Bruce Arians' system. Why move on from him?
Because for me, it's just I think that Bruce Arians wants to get his own guy. I think that's why this whole point. All right, man. I think his whole point of coming into Tampa Bay was to be like, look, I'm going to do this last year with Jameis, see what I can get out of him. If it work, it work. If it don't, I'm going to get my guy next year. Mm-hmm. And I think Tampa Bay was like, fuck it. It's Bruce Arians. We got to do whatever we can to get a good coach. And I think this season has proven that, all right, I've tried. It's not working. Let me get my guy. And I think from what we've seen with Goff and McVay and how other coordinators, Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G, you don't need to be a number one pick.
All right.
To get your guy to be successful.
So I'll give you the three quarterbacks, according to this 2020 mock draft, this is on CBS Sports. Joe Burrow, obviously number one, ain't they don't have a shot. The other one is Justin Herbert. They have him projected to go 17 to Indy. That would be a good pick for them. And then I think the other one, where is he? Tua, if Tua comes out. Is the other one they have him projected to go like fourth. One guy has him projected to go fourth to Miami. So we know Miami need one. Mm-hmm. We know Cincinnati going to get rid of Joe Burrow. So it's going to come down to what Indy's going to do. So do they believe in Jacoby?
I think they believe.
And if that they do, then they'll be willing to trade it. But do you want to go with Justin Herbert over Jameis Winston?
Because Jameis is still young enough to get better. Like it's not like Jameis has hit that line of no return. Mm-hmm.
But you know I think he needs a whole new situation.
He has
like a Tannehill.
No, he has it. He has it with Arians. I don't know
exactly.
That's what I mean by with the
coach. Exactly. Because, you know, I talk about it all the time, is marrying that head coach with that quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Jameis is like the ideal pick, but he's good enough that Bruce Arians can elevate him. And I think that if they stay together, again, because outside of the top two, three quarterbacks coming out this year, they're not better than Jameis. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to produce more than what Jameis can next year. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I'm not willing to trade up. Like I'm not.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, we all know this is Jameis playing for that second contract. So we'll mm-hmm. see. I think Arians did come out and say that if he keeps playing. This was after a good game, and he had a lot of picks. But he's saying if he keeps playing like this, then, you know, he could see him coming back next year.
Yep.
But I think just – Jameis is one of those guys where I brought up Jamarcus Russell. I've never defended Jamarcus Russell on this show. Byron Leftwich, I've never defended Byron Leftwich on this show. He couldn't play. They can't play. I've seen no talent. Who's some other black quarterbacks that haven't been good? But when I see guys that can play, that are decent enough to at least be average or below average, for those of you them that don't like them, my thing is, why not? Why do they have to be exceptional? Why do they have to be twice as good in order for us to be supportive of him in that way. And that's the issue that I've had with black folks that have been critical outside of this show. I'm not talking about y'all specifically, but other people that I've seen online that have criticized this guy. He stayed out of trouble. That's been the one thing that people have been talking about. And I'm saying this, he'll probably get in trouble.
He's maturing.
Yeah, he's mature. He's learned. He got people in it. He was giving him sound advice. And now it's just about the game. Yep. So, and he's never had a good coach. Nope. The one good coach he had, Lovie Smith, they fired him for the Great White Hope. And we saw that went. That same Great White Hope went to Atlanta. And we see how they are. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan don't look that good. And he had the same he's the offensive coordinator, Cutter. And now you got Bruce Arians. It's unfortunate that it's only 1 year, but hopefully we'll see if he gets more time to be with him. But that depends on their relationship and what Arians believe.
I was gonna say, don't hold y'all breath on that one.
I'm just gonna wait and see what happens, but yeah.
Will OBJ be traded?
Yes.
He's done.
Got to. Because they gave up a first and a third to get him. You can't just cut him, even though his cap hit isn't big. Like, if they were to just outright cut him, it's only a $2.5 million cap hit. But you got to trade him. You're probably not going to get that first and third back.
Nah. You can it get is a first. What it is. Hopefully you get a first.
I doubt it. Because here's the thing. OBJ has the leverage. He has the leverage. And a team isn't going
to
give up.
How does he have the leverage? That's all I'm about to ask you.
He has the leverage because at the end of the day, he's still under contract for one more year, right? The team that wants to acquire him is not going to give up a first-round pick to get him when I could just wait for you to play your last year and then I could sign you outright. Why am I going to give that organization a first-round pick? Now, we talking second and third, fourth-round picks, future fourth-round picks and third-round picks, you damn right. But I'm not giving you a first-round pick in this next upcoming draft. Hell no.
Not even the Pats?
The Pats need to.
Because, Brady ain't no younger. So
yeah, the Pats need to. But I think that's the only team that pressed to give up a first-round pick. That's the only team. I don't think there's another team that's going to be willing to give up a first-round pick. But obviously, we know what Odell is when he's healthy and he wants to play. And he's in a system that, you know what I'm saying, can showcase his skill. Because Cleveland's a dumpster fire right now. Like, come on, man. Like, we all knew going into the season that Freddie Kitchens was the biggest question mark. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the talent, because the talent was there. But we said, okay, well, you know, what is it going to look like? You got running backs, you got wide receivers, you got tight ends, you got defense, you got an up-and-coming quarterback, and it all fell apart. That has nothing to do with OBJ. It has nothing to do with the personnel. It has everything to do with how that coaching staff had the vision, and then it comes down to execution. And that coaching staff, obviously, you know, Freddie Kitchens is out of there. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the hell else is going to happen with Cleveland, but at the end of the day, somebody's going to make a move for OBJ. And then y'all heard all of the rumor. He's talking to teams and players. And
wanted to go to. I think he actually thought he was going to end up with LA and the Rams.
They can't afford him.
I think that's where he wants to go.
At the time, they probably could
have. Of course.
Before Jalen Ramsey trade.
New York, LA, of course. I put it to you like this. I think there's probably two legitimate landing spots for him. I think the 49ers will be willing up to give up some high draft capital for that. And I also think the Patriots. I think those are the two teams in the NFL right now that if they had him, we're talking about Super Bowl.
What about the Cowboys?
No. I don't believe in Jerry Jones as a GM. I don't.
He's done a great job as a GM.
He's done.
For drafting-wise.
No.
He's done an okay job. He's been better in the last 5 years than he has been the previous 15.
Yeah, I'm saying these last 5 years. That's a big.
But here's the thing, too. Like, I'm giving him his props because the team is good. However, what did he do? He went and he drafted O-line, D-line. He fortified that line, and that's the reason why the team looks so good. And then also the moves, like the Amari Cooper move was big. You know what I'm saying? So I'll give him props, but he's not an elite GM. I don't. And then we know that I believe that wherever Odell goes, it needs to be a stable organization for him to perform at optimal performance. And we know Jerry World is not stable.
Do y'all believe he's playing with a sports hernia, or they just put that out? That's fake.
I don't even care, to be at this point. But it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Of what
he's out there on the field.
Yeah. If you playing, you playing.
Yeah, but sports hernia and trying to play could impact his.
Then he shouldn't be playing.
But
if it's going to impact, and he should have got a second opinion if he thought it was worse than what they're telling him it is.
But the Cleveland Clinic is like top. It's like one of the best physical.
Baker
therapy.
Criticized him, and then he had to walk it back. That's why I don't know if it's real. So I asked because it felt like they put this out here before the trade news to kind of
soften the blow.
Yeah, to provide some cover. Hey, Cleveland messed
people
up.
People going to look at those stats and like, oh, hell no, he ain't worth the first round.
Well, people know he's
– yeah, of course.
People know he's worth it. They're probably going to look at Cleveland before him and think if we get him in our system, we can do more with him. But it felt like they were like, okay, to that point, though, the production is down because of the sports hernia. And that's why he hasn't been producing on the field. And that's why he wants to be traded because they missed. It's the KD thing. They misdiagnosed his injury.
It's part of controlling the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That you don't want the narrative to be that you quit on the team and, you know, you like mentally you're not there. You've checked out and all you want is this trade. That looks horrible for OBJ. Yep. But if you get in front of it and you're talking about,
I got an injury,
this, that, third. I haven't been 100%, which is why my numbers don't look like that. Now you have a talk track to navigate yourself to another team. At the end of the day, like you, Nick, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
You was wearing $400,000 watches on the motherfucking field, bro. Like,
you was running up a check against the Jets when you busted out that. I don't know when you got injured, so.
Yeah, they didn't give us that information, yeah. So we can't. Do a timeline, but I just thought it was interesting.
But at the end of the day, he is not a Cleveland Brown next year.
No. You could tell he's frustrated with that organization and that city.
Yeah, he's not getting the opportunity. They're not throwing the ball his way and all. Yeah, it's
100%.
Just like, nah.
The team that I do want to see him go to is San Francisco. I think that
Emmanuel Sanders trade was
big.
Yeah.
That was huge.
But imagine if they didn't get Emmanuel Sanders and they got OBJ. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not now with Jimmy G, I got no questions about Jimmy G. Even if some people may still have questions after the performance he put up, 349, was it 5 touchdowns and only 1 pick? Wait, who's he throwing to?
And that 1 pick was a tip.
You know what I'm saying?
It sanders right in the hands and it went to the defender.
So you put an OBJ
Philly sucks,
with everything that they got going on over there, man, that elevates them. That elevates them.
How are you this bad against the freaking Jets? I mean, Giants. Watch this drop. Look at this. He's holding him. He was going to drop it anyway. I just want to read this stat. This is actually hilarious. This is the enigma of Jameis Winston. 2 touchdown passes behind Lamar for the league lead. 7 yards behind Dak for the top passing spot. Leads the NFL in picks by a huge margin and could finish in 1 in all 3.
Brett Favre. Brett Favre.
That man could throw 7 picks and people are still dogging. Anyway, let's move on.
From last night, that Seahawks-Rams game, is that who? What team showed themselves more? Is that really who the Rams are or is that really who the Seahawks are?
I think the Rams, it was in L.A., right? So yes. They had home field advantage. Mm-hmm. I think the Rams are playing with more desperation. McVay actually came out and said, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm going to start giving the ball to Gurley. I think he tried to be cute and manage Gurley's reps, and now he's giving the ball to Gurley. And what have we talked about on this program for weeks now? That system is built around Gurley. He started getting him involved. Look what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Simple math.
But you also – did you also see – I don't know if it was McVay – or it was just, like, the team saying that, like, now there are no restrictions on Gurley. Like, they're going to let him just run wild. But do you really think
he was hurt? If they get to the playoffs, it'll work.
No, 100%.
I do.
And obviously, he's fresh as hell.
Yeah.
But do you really, like.
I do think he was. Yes, I do think he was hurt. But my thing is, if you drafted those other two running backs, Malcolm Brown and D. Henderson Jr., I don't know his first name. Then you got to use them, and he did not. Now, I don't know. They may not have been good enough to run the schemes. There's a lot of things that's involved on a week-to-week basis when it comes to planning that we're not privy to, so that could impact it. But or maybe he thought Goff was that dude, and he found out Goff is not that dude.
Yeah, but either way, I more so want to focus on Gurley. Do you think Gurley Is he the old girly, or does he really have something that's degenerative and he'll never be the same?
He's never going to be girly of last year.
He doesn't look like the old girly from what I've seen.
He looks like a good knife.
But, you know, I
you don't have the explosion.
He looks like Chris Carson, to be honest. Like
Chris Carson is
he's above average. You're not elite, but you're above average.
Yeah. I mean, that'll work, though. It'll work for the
I was more shocked about the Seahawks as far as how bad they made Russ. Granted, it was a division game, but I was expecting, especially because of how much was on the line. Like, if the Seahawks won that, they would have had number one. They would have been number one seed in the NFC, which is, like, insane because it's like we're talking about the Seahawks with one of the worst offensive line. The weapons that they have been in and out a lot, inconsistent.
Because they were number one before they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the Niners, so because they beat them, so they were number one. So they were playing for that. But I we'll see what happens with McVay. I didn't look at that was a good win. I haven't seen who else they beat to go on this 3-game winning streak.
I think it's.
But I don't think they were good teams. I can look, but. They did beat a good team, and that counts for something. So it kept their playoff hopes alive.
Another quarterback and team I'm worried about is the Texans because they got
Bill O'Brien, man. I keep saying it over and over again.
And they made me want to think, like, is Deshaun Watson, can he be successful with Bill O'Brien? Like,
no.
The success that we know he can be.
He needs his NFL Dabo Sweeney.
Yep.
He need Dabo then.
Nah, he don't need Dabo. But he needs that guru.
Eric Bieniemy.
That's somebody else.
I've been giving what's his name? The Texans head coach.
Bill O'Brien.
I've been giving him a lot of rope over the years.
Yeah.
But it's time that performance he hung himself. That was the one. That was the one. Because at the end of look, man, you just came off being the Patriots.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You went toe-to-toe with – oh, no. You got your ass handed to you by Baltimore.
Yeah. It's been up and down. It's literally been up and down all season.
And the thing is we know that they have the talent. They got, one of the better wide receiving cores. You got one of the better up-and-coming young quarterbacks in the league.
The best QB in the division.
You should be – not necessarily – you should almost be running away with the division at this point.
They should be.
You know? So it's one of those things. Bill O'Brien's number is up. I don't know. Like, so who do you replace him with? Like, who do you think can be that guy?
He does both jobs, so they're going to have to find
Rivera.
They're going to have to find two guys.
But I don't think Ron Rivera is
not bring that man in.
He's not
offensively minded.
Exactly. He's not Watson's Sean Payton or Bill Belichick. He's not that guy.
Do they need that though? Right? Because for what he does,
I think they do. I think you need to bring in the guy that's going to take Deshaun to the next level. Because you take Deshaun to the next level, it takes his whole team to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have an offensive minded quarterback guru type of head coach for this type of squad. I think Ron Rivera fit perfect with the Giants because the GM. He was the GM at
Gettleman.
Yeah. He was the GM for Carolina, and they won the division. They went to the Super Bowl under Gettleman.
I hope that's the case.
And if you look at the way that the Giants should be building for the future, it's a defensive thing. You got Saquon that can run the ball. Danny Dimes is going to get better.
Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes is going to get better. You know what I'm
saying? Nickname sticks, good or bad.
Yeah.
If Jimmy G had to earn his, he has
we
to
We just
earn
told
his.
You the stats last week. Danny Dimes is still
if
here.
If Jimmy G had to earn his, he needs to earn his.
But I was calling Jimmy G too.
Jimmy G was a G once he came out that the restaurant with the four-star. All right? That was his name in the streets. We just brought on the field.
But I think Ron Rivera fits better there. You know, honestly, who I could see taking over the Texans and taking them over the top is Tomlin.
He's not leaving though.
If we don't know what's gonna happen.
If they let him go after this season,
mm-hmm.
They won't. But I think he'll retire because I think Bill Cowher. That's what happened. He just walked away. He was done. I think Tomlin would actually probably retire and leave.
Well, that stress got to get to you.
All I'm saying is, if he's available, if I'm the Texans, I'm like, hey, bro.
Of course. Hell yeah.
Hey, I offer him a blank check. He'd be like, just fill it out and just give it to the cashier over here and just take your bread. That's what I would do if I was them. But now they need to find that guy because you got to elevate Deshaun.
The last question I got is the Broncos. Drew Lock.
Your boy.
Hey. What, did they forget that they drafted him?
He was hurt.
It, it seemed like it.
But I, was he hurt? Not that long.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think, and I think it may have took him a while, a week or two for them to play him. But yeah, he was hurt, and he finally got a shot because they were playing some other rookie, I think.
Isn't it interesting to see a lot of these young rookies? They got some wheels. I'm not saying that they Lamar Jackson.
Nah.
But they can
I was talking about that in the chat. I was like, look, they, the white QBs now running like the black QBs. I don't like it.
but you know what, though? I think it's a byproduct of all of these linemen and linebackers just being so fast and being so athletic.
I was going to say offensive linemen.
Murray could not run anybody yesterday on Pittsburgh's team.
Now, Pittsburgh is the fat. They got the fastest defense.
I know,
like,
but
defense.
It was just like, gee, man, he's still a little – scuttlebutt. Like, yeah,
he get around like a roach. Like, got them little legs when he can move. But nah. I just think that these offensive linemen, they don't have enough practice time. They all the old school offensive linemen talk about it, like how much that time in practice meant to their chemistry, how they develop each other. So now you don't have that. You see all, like, you can't do shit without a good offensive line. So.
Yeah, I was trying to get some more info on why it took him so long to get on the field. I know he was hurt.
I heard about him being hurt, but I thought that was like super early in the season, like when the season first started. So I thought he was good after that, and I thought they were being stubborn on Joe Flacco, like people usually are.
Yeah, because Flacco got but anyway, he looks good, man, and
I hope he does good.
I do too.
I know he was inconsistent. What was he at Missouri?
Yeah, but I think he still was good.
But
enough.
He faced all SEC teams, so he knows how to play against good defenses, or should know.
And let's see what happens. Elway may have found his guy finally. So
boy, lucked into him.
Yeah, I mean, he drafted him. That's not luck.
Oh, I forgot about this game: the Baltimore and the Bills. Are we seeing cracks in Lamar's game, or is it more of like he's still persevering? Because it's getting to the point where these defenses are like,
I'm 50-50 on that. If feels like they're starting to catch up to him. Screw Skip was talking about he's the best running back in the league. That's disrespectful. I think that's – and I know Skip is not that kind of guy, but it feels like he's undermining Lamar as a quarterback. I don't like it. That's being – but anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. It feels like it, but let's – be real, Buffalo's defense is
Buffalo
real. That's what we've been talking about all
legit,
year.
Yeah.
And we saw the number they put on the Cowboys and other teams, and I think this was just one of those grinded out games that we're just going to have to win this any way possible. And they did. So, you know, it wasn't pretty, but those are playoff-like games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type
on
of
the
environment
road
you're going to be
on.
But, man, what we're watching while we're recording this on this Monday if this is a game, but the Eagles look terrible, man. They look really, really bad, and I don't know what they're gonna do.
There's less than 70 yards total in this, and we're going into the second quarter, 0-0.
You should be I won't say destroying them, but you should at least have a touchdown by now. The Giants' defense isn't that good. Eli is just standing there, and look at then he just missed a tackle. That's a touchdown. That's how Miami beat them.
Well,
no tackle.
Who was that? Slayton.
I don't know.
So going back to what you were saying in terms of
Slayton.
Baltimore, you know, possibly showing some cracks, you know what I'm saying, in their armor. I just think that you have to have defensive personnel that can match up, right? And the Bills obviously have that. We saw the 49ers, they have that. And if you don't have that, you're going to get ran on. You're going to get demolished by Baltimore.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I only think it's a handful of teams that can even control it to be in the game, right? Like, I think Seattle can do it. San Fran can do it. The Bills can do it to be, you know, in the game. Even though I don't think the Bills have the offense to, you know, keep up. But you have to have the defense. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen that. And here's the thing. You're not going to blow out every team. Like, this is not Madden. This is real life football.
Yeah. It gets hard, especially as it gets colder.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so – but I don't think that they're showing any signs of slowing down. You know what I'm saying? Like, my expectation, obviously, even from the beginning of the year, and I had to walk everything back. But I still don't think that this is a team that, you know, strikes fear into me like last year's Kansas City. Like, Kansas City felt like Golden State. Like,
yeah.
Bro, they're going to put up 50, bro. Like, ain't nothing you can do. With Baltimore, it's kind of like, look, we know what they're going to do, but if we can keep them under 24 points and we can score, you know what I'm saying, we have a chance to beat them. So they're not – they're a juggernaut, but they're not that scary to me if you have the right personnel. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't – to me, it's not about Baltimore slowing down. It's just about them hitting or playing tougher defenses now.
That's all it is. If they got to come back from behind, that's the one thing. I think that's their biggest weakness.
We haven't seen it yet.
They haven't had to. Time of possession. Mm-hmm. When you have that type of time of possession, and that defense is really good. It isn't like stellar. It isn't like ferocious. It isn't all-time good, but it's really good.
Because they can their offensive drive can last, what, 4 to 8 minutes per drive? That's damn near like you ain't getting on the field.
Yeah.
That's all I got for NFL. Y'all got anything else?
No.
Nah.
We get
watch these dudes, man. They're gonna blow this. I'm giving
if
up
the
hope.
Eagles lose this, then yeah.
I'm giving up hope on the Eagles. the teams they're facing, the next three games have a less than 30% winning percentage. Less than 30% winning percentage. 0.28. And the Cowboys is 0.42.
But if the Cowboys lose any one of them games, somebody needs to smack the hell out of Jerry Jones.
No, somebody needs to smack the shit out of the Eagles because you're being gifted this.
I know. I get it. But the Eagles have been very up and down all year, right? Like, we expected Dallas to win.
Because Dallas has a far better roster.
Far better roster. They were supposed to be so much more ahead that if you're going down the stretch and your schedule is this easy, And you lose any one of these, smack the shit out of Jerry Jones, please.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with a top QB. Come on, man. QB, you gotta move
top
forward.
QB, you have a top running back. Like, you have a top 15 wide receiver. You got bodies, bro. You arguably have a top 7 roster in the NFL.
You have a Super Bowl roster.
You have a Super Bowl They lose one of them games, Ken. I might fly out there to Dallas and slap Jerry Jones my damn self. The hell you doing?
All right, we can move to the NBA. Speaking of the Texas area, there was a recent interview with Melo, and they were talking about his time at the Rockets. Mm-hmm. And Melo was saying after he left the Rockets, he warned CP3. He was like, be careful, watch yourself. Because after they cut him, he had a conversation with CP3 trying to see like what went down. Was it on him? Like, did he have anything involved with it? And CP was like, nah. He was like, all right, well, if that's the case, bro, be careful. And then give it a little bit more time left. He's out, and we hearing all this other stuff. How James Harden, you know, as soon as he,
well, you know who runs that organization though. Like that's typically how it is when you're the best player. Like you have the ear of the GM. Man.
That is shady though.
But that's business. That's GMs operate in that way, right? Like I give it to you.
But the players though, usually that's supposed to be like that's the brotherhood, right?
To a degree.
Well, like, what do you mean by the players?
Well, as far as being like
being talk, 100, being
yeah,
100,
keep it real, and you gonna talk.
But Chris Paul knew something, yes. My thing when I saw this story is that I think that's messed up that they didn't give Melo a reason why. I think it's messed up that they lied to CP3 and said he's not going to trade him. A week later, they trade him. There's something going on there. And then for Harden to go after that game and talk about, you got to get him out of here. What the fuck was up with that?
So, all right. So, a couple things. That is what's considered business in the NBA.
GMs, is it now?
It is. If you look at
the way this played out, that's normal business.
To a degree, yes. Let me give you another example. Masai Ujiri, right? When he got to Toronto, we kind of knew DeMar's days were numbered. We knew that roster is constructed wasn't going to be the same way with Masai taking over, right? When he met with DeMar DeRozan, he told him face-to-face, I'm not going to trade you, right? Think about what type of personal...
That's a good one.
Think about what type of personal implications that has for you.
But what I'm thinking about is I get the organization... Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about the player helping the organization along the way.
I'm gonna get there. Let me go. You know what I'm saying? Go through all of the levels of this shit. So Masai Ujiri tells their star player, "I'm not trading you." What does that do for you personally? You may have girlfriend, wife, kid, house,
mistress.
You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of shit that you got to take care of if you get shipped out. But you told me, man to man, that you're not going to do it, and you go 2 hours later and you trade me. That's messed up, right? But that's the business of basketball. And then let's be honest. Do you think that LeBron always goes up to all of his teammates and says exactly what he wants to say? He'll put people in their place and tell you what your role is. But as soon as something's fucked up, you don't think he's the one that's talking to management, or at least Rich Paul that's talking to management, that LeBron isn't saying everything that he wants to say to management to you? That's the business of basketball. That's the business of professional sports, especially in basketball, because it is a player-driven league. And when you have a team like constructed like the Houston Rockets, outside of Daryl Morey, who's the next powerful person on that roster? It's James Harden, the next powerful person in that organization outside of the owner. I'm excluding the owner.
Well, to me, the biggest difference between that LeBron James, which is right, that's what he does. LeBron isn't usually the person who's at fault. He's usually correct as far as, like, we need to get somebody else for the situation. With James Harden, we've seen him come up short a lot of times.
Okay,
but it seemed like Chris Paul was the easy, like, all right, bro, get his old ass out.
He's still the MVP, though.
Still the MVP, and we're not talking about basketball. We're talking about personnel. Why do you think J.R. Smith got all that money in Cleveland? It wasn't. Who the owner up there in Cleveland? Dan Gilbert?
Yeah, Gilbert.
You think Gilbert wanted to give J.R. Smith all that money? Nah.
He didn't want to give nobody that money.
It was LeBron. Damn, we won a championship. He's right. He's LeBron. I can't let him leave again. I got to give his guys what he wants. You don't think that certain players get concessions? Like, how do you think the hell Rich Paul always sit in the front row? You think Rich Paul paying for them tickets? The organization got them. And it wasn't because Rich Paul said, I want these tickets. It's because LeBron said, bro, you want me, and you want you got to deal with everything that comes with me. All big-time star players have some type of cachet and pull. That's why some star players, a la Kyrie, can't stand a LeBron James. He get too much. I don't get all these players. Why he get all these players? He's LeBron James. It happens like that, bro. It's the business of basketball. And I know it sounds shady, and I know it ain't right, but it's part of their nature. It's part of their business. I don't have no problems with the star player either telling it directly to another player or to management. Hey, bro, we gotta get rid of this person. Mm. Right. You building it around me?
That's FIFA 1-on-1 business.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you building it around me. Shit, you better take what I gotta say or trade me.
Going on trades, Kevin Love seems like he's on the trade block.
100%.
Where y'all
we
think
know
he should go to?
Portland. I don't know how the hell they can pull it off, but yeah. They need it. Because here's the thing, like. You know, and I know I've been super critical of Melo, but Melo is what Portland needs. But they need more of it. You know, they need more shooting. They need more floor spacing. Because when I watch them, Melo, we know how he operates. Fucking years, 16, 17, 18, whatever it is, we know how Melo gets down. CJ and Dame have felt a bit inconsistent, but we know what they are. Hassan has looked a bit inconsistent.
Portland starts slow historically, though.
They start slow. They need more shooting. You know what I'm saying? I think that they've upgraded over last year.
They just lost Rodney Hood to ACL, I think.
Damn, really?
Yeah, I watched that. He grabbed the rebound. He went to take off. It was a wrap. Really? ACL? Because he grabbed his Achilles during the game.
It may be an Achilles.
That's
Achilles.
A huge loss for them.
Yeah,
that's
no, it is a huge loss. You know, but thankfully they have a Melo, but from an athletic perspective, they, you know what I'm saying, that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, real quick update on the game. They just lost. Man, Carson Wentz is playing without DeSean Jackson, Nelson Agholor is out, and Alshon Jeffrey just left. Yeah, they got nothing but second, third stringers in there, and that coach isn't good enough to.
First three draft picks need to be wide receiver.
Yeah, and we all know.
Luckily for LSU, they got some guys out coming out.
Yeah, so.
Oh yeah, for those get kids.
But
so you say Portland's number one.
I like Portland there, or I like Kevin Love for Portland. Miami
17-7.
Yeah, man. Hey, them boy. Hey, you know what it is? I just
Tyler saw, Hero.
It is. It's a lot of Tyler.
Jimmy out there.
I saw. Damn, I want to say it was for Slam Magazine or something like that. But I saw they were interviewing Tyler, Jimmy Buckets, and Bam Adebayo. And
Bam's nice too.
Yeah, Bam's taking that step up.
Can't believe you dropped him.
But Bam was talking about how the Miami Heat culture is all about working. And he was like, I had to take Jimmy Butler under my wing to show him what the Miami way is. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy was like, the reason why he loves Miami so much is because all of these guys are dogs. Like we all got something to prove. You look at their whole roster.
That's true.
Shot.
Bam. It is a slight shot.
To Philly's to mentality. Philly.
Because you heard what he said. He said, obviously something happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't say what, but he said, obviously something happened.
And they ain't pay him either. So
no, but you know what it is? I think that Jimmy just has a certain persona, and I think that the perfect person to kind of develop him to where he was Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that Bulls like how he had it, and then now that he's with Pat Riley, he don't like this foo foo. You know, all everybody's entitled. You make $100 million type shit. Like he don't care. He's a lunch pail type of guy, and he needs to have an organization that believes in that.
Yep.
And no disrespect to Philly, but let's be honest. And I love Philly. Y'all already know I'm a Philly proponent, but Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid feel like they are entitled.
They bought into the process. They say this is a that's what he called himself. Like,
you know
this
what I'm saying?
Is the process. Relax.
But that Miami Heat, Pat Riley, the way he runs his, it's a different animal. And I think that is in line with Jimmy Butler's mindset.
It's a perfect marriage.
It's a perfect marriage. And then they even talked about, the first day of pickup games. You know, before what's the offseason stuff that they go into, training camp and all of that. They made Tyler Hero guard Jimmy buckets. And he was like, you know, the first couple games, you know what I'm saying? Like, he gave me some work, but I held my own. And then Jimmy was like, nah, bro, we only lost two games. Like, you know, but Tyler's like, they kept going back and forth, but you could just tell that the chemistry that they have is a big reason as to why they're winning. But they still don't have enough talent to really be a true contender. You get a K-Love, that changes things a little bit.
They are tough out first round.
They're very tough out.
Yeah. They may even get a second round.
Depending on the matchup.
Yeah. I would love to see them go against Philly.
Of course, because I want to see what Jimmy going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't going back down.
Zion might not debut until 2020.
Wow. But you know what's interesting?
They might as well just rest him for the whole season.
Yeah, he need to play.
Nah,
he don't. At this point, if he's going to miss Christmas Day, then what's the point?
Man, I'm tired of this shit, man. I'm tired of all these guys getting hurt and not playing.
Here you go.
But
Ben Simmons did it, and Now we're going to do it with Zion.
You're 100%.
But he's had four injuries, I think probably knee injuries or something like that, in the last two years. Four.
Three.
That's a lot of injuries in a short period of time, especially with all that capital.
It's over. These corners can't cover me.
Oh, it's raining too?
Yeah.
He threw that in the rain?
Hey, that's Eli.
That's Eli, man. Yeah,
he's used to that Philly weather.
Like, ran right by him. Holla.
That was everything he had in that arm, too. That's everything.
Hey. LaMelo out 4 weeks with a foot injury.
LaMelo Ball?
Yep.
That's fine. He's still going to go top three.
Oh, Giannis. We got to talk about Giannis, man.
Let's get on this.
Bucks, man, we need to start paying attention, man. 14 in a row beat the shit out of the Clippers.
You know what was interesting in that game?
You love the Bucks now.
That's why Kawhi was running. I told y'all he was running from there as the first time.
But you know what, though? Kawhi didn't guard him. PG ain't guard him. What's his name? Pat Bev ain't guard him. I watched the majority of that game. None of that happened. And I was sitting there watching. I'm like, damn, why the hell? I got Kawhi and PG. None of them going to take a crack at Greek Freak over here?
Can't do nothing with him.
Can't nobody do nothing with that man.
Wait, but Kawhi checked him in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he checked him
in the playoffs. I'm talking about this year.
Maybe he's waiting until the playoffs to get on him.
But Kawhi's in the West now. They already played these two games against Milwaukee.
That's a potential finals opponent.
So you don't want to show your hand?
I mean, he showed his hand last year.
I don't think he looks at him as like last year he had to go through him. Now it's like he's not the guy I need to go through. So like I don't need to wait. Like Ken said, maybe I don't need to waste as much energy on him, especially if I'm dealing with knee injuries and I need low management
issues. Yeah, he out again with that knee. He ain't gonna make it through the season.
To me, Matt, this whole low management shit is weak as fuck.
He could be hurt though. Like, to the point where he needs to be managed. Like, we're all banking on the playoffs. We don't give a damn about the regular season. As much as we talk about it, we don't care about the regular season, though.
And that's why ratings are down. We should care about the regular season. Philly, the Clippers was supposed to be why people would care about the regular season. They were supposed to be the new Golden State Warriors, and nobody's watching. Yep. Nobody give a damn about them. They got their ass whooped by 30-something. Mm-hmm. Barely even a discussion on TV the next day.
Because, you know, because, well, here's the thing, though, Kim. Because of that, I feel a lot of people already anointed the Clippers, and they're making all type of excuses for the Clippers. They're even still saying that the Clippers are better than the Lakers. Well, and that's 100% baloney.
It's the long game, because it's 82-game season, so you can't go every time they lose. It's like, it's 80. Their ass is going to be 82 games.
But what's my favorite word? Context? Look, the Clippers in big games are supposed to show what they have, because those are the games that you draw for inexperience when it comes in the playoffs, right? Like, you have to go and battle Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go put Kawhi on that guy. You have to, because even if you played your best game plan, they still shellacked you for 30. We know that when come playoff time, and if we see them in the finals, oh, we already know what they did. We already know that we try to give them a best shot, but this is a revamped best shot. And what didn't work, this is what we're changing to make it work. So, like, you have to have all of those type of – it's building the culture. Same thing as the coach last year, right?
Yep.
It's the same thing. You got to go all out. That's the reason why, like, the Lakers look so good like they look now. Because it's not about load management. It's not about, oh, AD.
They load manage when they beating the shit out of you. 100%.
And you know what? I 100% agree with Shannon Sharp with that.
But don't you think the Lakers needed a culture more than the Clippers? Because the Clippers have, I would say, better vets. You got a better head coach. It's more as far as stability. The owners, from the top down, Jerry West down, is like,
I'm gonna tell
it's
you,
a stable culture right there.
But I'm going to tell you like this. When you take it easy, and this is a brand new roster and team, you can't just flick it on.
But also, when you talk about culture, it's kind of quiet in L.A. now. We ain't talking about front office issues.
No, we're not.
Magic gone. Mm-hmm. It's all about winning games. And all that mess is gone.
So the Lakers are the best team in the NBA?
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Chris Middleton.
If that was they went against the Bucks, do they win?
Yes. I'll tell you why. Look, the Bucks are better. And it's not just because Giannis is hitting threes now. And it's not because Giannis has gotten better. Chris Middleton is getting more of his own shots. He's initiating more offense, and he's also creating more of his own. Remember it came playoff time last year, and I kept pointing that shit out? He couldn't create. He looks more comfortable creating for himself and for others. I think that's part of the reason why they're better. A year removed from everything that happened last year. And we know Coach Bud is outside of Popovich and all of the sexy names. Once you get rid of the sexy names, Coach Bud is the best coach outside of the sexy names. He's up there.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? He's done it every single place he's gone. He's had a winning coach like this.
Yep.
The first year.
Hawks
like this.
Hawks could use him right now.
They young. I ain't worried about them.
Coach. How about say, speaking of Hawks, Trey Young, he hot.
No,
frustrated.
He is.
He mad.
Well, he's great. But let's go back to the Bucks and the Lakers. The reason why I think the Lakers are better is because they got somebody to guard Giannis, and the Bucks ain't got nobody to guard Bron or AD. Because if you put Giannis on Bron, who going to guard AD?
AD put 50 on him last night.
You put Giannis on AD, who going to guard Bron? So, to me, that alone, because we know that playoff basketball comes down to matchups. The Lakers have the biggest advantage in the NBA.
And I think that was one of the things that slightly concerned me about the Clippers. I know we had that discussion last week about unstoppable players. If they couldn't do anything with Giannis, what the hell are they going to do with AD? Now, AD doesn't have Giannis's mentality. Now, if he had that killer mentality that Giannis had, man, the Lakers would be a problem.
But here's the thing, though, and I agree with you. Giannis is more Kobe than anything, right, in terms of mentality.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put you in this hole.
Yeah.
Exactly. But LeBron unlocks a lot of AD's gifts. Like, AD knows that he is the number one option offensively. AD knows that we score because I make it easy for everybody.
He's been a good mentor to him, and I'm seeing that kind of
you see it.
Into the game.
Look. Who's leading the league in assists right now?
LeBron.
Just yesterday, he had 13 of them.
This is unreal.
So what that tells me, and he had what 25 points or something to AD's 50. So what that tells me is that LeBron knows I'm LeBron, bro. I done been to 9 finals in a row. He knows how to turn it off, how to turn it on, and when to do it in the game as well. But what he's doing is he's enabling AD to be this superstar. He's uncorking. And we knew that AD had the talent, but he had too much responsibility, and now he doesn't. Now he could play off of a guy. I can go on the bench, and we can go on a run and extend the lead. And guess what? I ain't got to come back in the game. He ain't have that type of luxury in New Orleans. And play, come on, man. For LeBron or AD, they've never played with another guy on their team. Doesn't matter. All the way from high school to AAU to the NBA. They haven't played with another person that was on their same level. This is scary for the
NBA.
I
do find it interesting that the Lakers have the best team in the NBA. The record, I should say, that we or a lot of pundits expected the Clippers to have. And, you know, and they're making it look easy. I did not expect this. I did not anticipate seeing it.
I didn't expect it, but I'm not that surprised.
Though. 11 row. Are you surprised by 11 row wins in a row?
I'm surprised. That's the big thing I'm surprised. That's coaching, too.
Because you know what? That's coaching. I'm not taking that away from Frank Vogel.
You're not surprised they only have three losses?
No, I'm not surprised at them being successful. I'm just more like.
How quickly?
Yeah, like I didn't think they was going to put it together like this run. Me neither. Like out the gate.
Not out the gate.
Especially after that first home loss against the Clippers, I'm thinking, okay, this going to maybe take a little bit. Because usually LeBron James teams coming out the gate take a little bit.
Well, that was one of the most discombobulated times that they've had, but that was like one of only maybe two. Because when I saw that game too, I had cause for pause because they looked out of sync.
Yeah,
but as the season kept going, they look in sync. They look damn near mid season form.
Everybody knows their role, man. It's incredible, but it's a lot of veterans, man. It's a lot of guys. That,
I was looking at this picture they took. I'm seeing Rondo, Boogie Cousins. Yep. AD.
Championship veterans. Not just, I've been in the league 10 years and I've been on losing team veterans. Like, people that have won. Boogie saw what it takes with Golden State. Mm-hmm. Even though it was 1 year, and we know how talented he is. And even though he's not playing, he's a big cheerleader, a mentor on that bench. We know Rondo. We know Bron.
JaVale McGee. Avery Bradley.
Danny Green. You know, so half of the roster has NBA championship experience. Deep playoff experience. Yeah. So it's showing. You know what I'm saying?
But do they have the depth?
Yes.
They don't.
Yeah,
They don't have the depth. They have – if you get past their first wave, which is saying a lot, then you have –
Okay, productive depth. Because they do have quality players on that team that provides depth. But depth to the point where they could be productive like the Clippers.
Yeah, well,
they don't have a Lou Will off the bench.
They don't, but they have an Avery Bradley that can challenge Lou Will defensively, right?
I don't think nobody can challenge Lou Will.
What I'm saying is this, Nick. I'm not saying that guys that get buckets in the NBA, you can't shut them down.
They're going to put somebody in front of him.
That's going to make it extremely difficult to get the buckets that you typically get.
Okay.
So Avery Bradley can do that for you against Lou Will, right? The Montrezl Harrell.
He's a dog.
And he's a hyper energy type of guy. Lakers don't really have somebody at that size that can do that. Okay, advantage Clippers. But at the end of the day, because outside of Montrezl and Lou, who are you talking about off that bench?
Yeah, because Harkless came back to normal.
Got some injuries. What was the guy? Shamik.
Shamik.
He's hurt.
I don't know, but I'm reluctant to say they're the best.
Lakers.
I don't want to disrespect the record.
Who's the best?
I'm looking at the Bucks, man.
I can't argue that.
Most chemistry. I mean.
They're on a mission, but LeBron's on a mission too.
They're both on a mission. I can't wait to see. I wish they was they'd probably be the better.
The Clippers should not have gotten their ass whooped like that.
No, they shouldn't have.
That
was disappointing. It was really disappointing because they almost it looked like they were defeated after the
and
first.
That was the full team outside of Shamet, but that was it. Like we've been talking, PG. Wait till PG get there, and he was there. Kawhi played and. They got smashed, so I don't know, man. I'm still watching them.
If you want to be in context, the Raptors were down 0-2 against the Bucks as well. So,
Yeah, nah.
That says something that goes with that.
But this version of Giannis is better than last year's version of Giannis. Because Giannis isn't hitting spot up threes.
You know what? Giannis, I think I said this in the group chat. He's playing like Philly should be playing.
100%.
And it's like, man, we should have been hoisting that trophy last year. Not Toronto.
Giannis must have been hot, especially like, man, KD went down too. Nigga, I could have got a chip easy.
Yes, we didn't hear from him, but it seems like he was fuming.
Yeah, but his game shows the difference. You got a pull up game. Yep. He's walking into 3-point shots. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And he's shooting mid 30s.
He was taking those threes in the playoffs too.
Yeah, but he wasn't making.
He made enough of them, but no, he wasn't. You and I debated this, but let's not relitigate it. But what he's doing right now, yes, he is hitting those threes.
Yeah, now he's hitting them threes. Yeah. Now he's hitting them. Because you know, I think for non-shooters, you go through a process.
Ben Simmons hit one.
Yeah, he did hit one. It looked good, too. The form looked good. But when you're a non-shooter, you kind of go through a process, right? You go through a process of being able to just have the confidence to shoot, right? And then you have to take the shots in the game, and then eventually they start to fall. So we saw that Giannis worked on the form to have the form. Last year, he worked on it enough to have the confidence to take them.
I guess that's what I was saying.
This year, they're falling.
He was working on it in the game, in the playoffs. To get that in-game confidence to
exactly
take them.
And now they're falling and think about it, he's only good at dribble up threes, he's still not good at spot up threes, so his game and his shooting still has levels to go, but the fact that he's still hitting three-pointers at 30 plus percent, how do you guard that?
I
think that right now, if I look at it, I think he is the best player in the NBA.
That was one of my questions that I had. Who is the best player in the NBA right now?
I'm going with Giannis, though, just because I've been a Giannis fan from his last year campaign. And now that we've seen him expand his game, that's all I said was that's the only thing that was missing to make him the best.
But it's still not complete.
Yeah, he's still not a complete product, but the fact that we're seeing progress
a
lot more than we're seeing with Ben Simmons, as you mentioned. Like, and he's a good shot away from being one of the best.
But here's the thing. Giannis has been in the league how much longer than Ben Simmons? No. Look, you got to give me apples for apples. But you got to give me apples. But neither could Giannis.
He can't shoot.
Neither could Giannis.
You can't beat the NBA and can't shoot.
Neither could Giannis.
That means you can't shoot.
Did we not just talk about it just right now?
If you don't shoot, then that means you can't shoot.
Nick broke it down.
So I'm saying if you don't shoot, that means you can't.
And Brett Brown wants him to take a three. He said
everybody wants him to take a three. We had a whole viral video of him taking a three.
That's fans and that's NBA Twitter. They don't count. I'm talking about the coach of the team and saying I want him taking one per game.
Is that shocking?
Brett Brown hadn't said that before.
Did you feel like he needed to?
Nick, yes, he should.
Nick, listen, I just said it about Giannis, so don't be caping for Giannis and then not caping for Ben Simmons in the same way.
But we never had to ask Giannis to shoot. We just said that he needed to get better at shooting.
When he first came into the game, he was taking no
jumper. He was like Ben Simmons when he first
came.
Yeah!
Straight to the rack.
No, I'm saying at this point in time in Ben Simmons' career to this point in time in Giannis' career, we were saying the same things. No, we were not. We're saying that only about Ben Simmons.
How many years Giannis in the league?
Giannis was not taking threes when he came in the league.
No, I'm saying shooting, period. I didn't say he needed to be a three-point shooter. I said he needs to be a shooter. My point was, as far as Giannis is that if he gets a shot, even if it's just the mid-range, he's the best player in the league.
What I remember is people were saying if that man got a jump shot, he would be a force.
Talking about Giannis or Ben?
Giannis.
Yes. People are saying the same thing. Ben does not shoot at all.
But here's the thing, though. You know what year Giannis is in? Seventh. Okay. You know what year Ben is in? Four.
Are you counting the redshirt year, too?
That's counting the redshirt year. He's in his fourth season.
So he's in his fourth year.
But he's only played three. So that's half of the time that Giannis has played, bro. And Giannis has only had a jumper for 2 years.
I only say the first 4 years. As far as shooting.
And it's exactly the same.
No, it's not.
But what he's saying, though, is – well, what it sounds like to me is that because he's played half the time that Ben Simmons has played, by the time he plays a full seven, he may be right
he's
going to
be
–
he's probably
right
not going to be on Philly by the time the seventh –
No. He'll still be there.
But that's immaterial. That's irrelevant.
Okay, so let me give you a couple things, Nick. Number one, I just said it. When you come into the league as a non-shooter, there's levels for you to become a consistent shooter. I could even go back to Tony Parker, right? Like when he first came into the league, he had no jumper.
He didn't shoot at all.
He finished one season with the most paint points in the NBA. And we're talking about a 6'1 point guard because he couldn't shoot. But what happened? He worked on it, right? That first year when you actually put in the work, guess what? You're still not confident in that shot to even take it in the game. So that first year you work on your jumper, guess what? You're not even going to shoot it. That second year, you developed enough confidence through practice, through the repetition, that you'll start taking it in the game. But because you are a non-shooter, guess what happens, Nick? You're not going to make it that second year. The shot is not going to fall, but you have enough confidence to take it. You know what happens that third year is what we're seeing with Giannis now. The shot starts to fall. So what I am saying with Ben Simmons, right, this offseason was the first offseason that he went to remake his shot. But are we seeing him shoot it, Ken?
Oh, yeah.
He's not shooting the ball yet. So wait, hold on. So next year, he's going to take more. The year after that, they'll start to fall. And that puts you right in line where Giannis is right now.
And if that was true, I would agree with you. But from what I'm seeing as far as 2 points attempt between Giannis, his first 3 years,
That's not Ben Simmons jump shots. Because two points attempt.
That's the closest you can get to jump shots.
How?
Well, basketball refs.
That's a layup.
Go ahead. Finish your.
Oh, I was going to say he's decreased as far as his attempts, period, as far as 2 points attempts. So either that's a layup or that's a floater or that's a mid-range shot. It's literally decreased for his first 3 years as far as when he was actually playing, not counting the redshirt year, from like it was 12.2, then 12.1, and now this year is 10.2. So he's not.
You talking about Ben or Giannis?
Ben.
Okay.
Because Giannis, his has increased every year.
Yeah, it's 2 point attempts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's increased from, it was 3.9 his first year, then it's 9.1, 11.3, 13.5, mm-hmm. 16.8, then it dropped down to 14.5 and went back up this year to 15.3. So he's been increasing a lot more, especially in his first 3 years.
Does that take into account dunks? I think you guys probably.
Well, I'm going to say that's the only stat that I can see as far as.
Well, they do have it. The only thing is they have field goal percentage by distance. And 10 to 16, it wasn't pretty, but they only giving me a percentage. They're not giving me the attempt.
But that's good enough. But that's good enough because, again, it shows you – because this is for Giannis. Okay, so tell me in his rookie year, what was his percentage? Because I could tell you how many attempts he took.
Well, from 10 to 16, his rookie year, it was – 0.045.
Wow.
The next year, 0.067.
This
is percentage of field goal attempts by distance.
Okay.
So 10 to 16 feet.
10 to 16 feet. Rookie year was how? What was the percentage?
No, this don't even make sense because he's 0.067 now. Field goal percentage by distance. Field goal attempts by distance. Percentage of field goal attempts by distance. So it's still I hate analytics.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
It's just stupid.
Okay, so it makes sense to me, Ken. So from 10 to 16 feet, rookie Giannis shot 0.105%. So basically to 11% from the field. And his sophomore year he shot 42%, then 28%, then 33%, then 35%, now 38%. So
these are the dunks, clearly.
Exactly, 0 to 3. Yep, 3 to 10 could be like for Giannis a long layup. 10 to 16 is that's around the field. That's around free throw.
So 0 to 3 is the higher percentage.
Exactly.
But see, he's still not taking that many this year either. It's still low. He's still not taking a lot of jumpers. It's still a lot of dunks.
It is because that's his game. But at the end of the day, we see it.
What about Ben Simmons?
What our eyeballs?
It's probably the same.
It's probably the same. So all I'm saying, Nick, is this: is that when you come into the league as a non-shooter, you got to work on it. That first year you worked on it, guess what? You don't have confidence in taking that shot in game. The next year, you've worked on it enough for 2 years that you're going to start taking it, but it's not going to fall down because you're not a shooter naturally. That third year, you're going to start taking them and making them more. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to become Ray Allen or Steph Curry, but you're going to be to the point where now you got to guard him. Now, when Giannis pulls up, because we still see it, they guard Giannis far back. He hits one or two threes. Guess what happens? They got to play up. You know who's the prime example? LeBron freaking James. What did they do against him in that first finals against San Antonio?
He said that made him a better player, too, when they were going underneath.
Daring him to shoot.
Yeah, Giannis is pretty much the same in his only 3 years in the NBA.
So Nick, like you be trying to compare where Giannis is now to where Ben is now.
No, I'm only trying to compare as far as growth. I was only using Giannis because I've seen him at least attempt shots more than I've seen Ben attempt shots.
But in the last only 2 to 3 years, this is Ben's first 3 years. In the first 3 years, Giannis ain't take no jumper, dog. I hate to break it to you.
From the stats, I thought it was different. But
nah, bro.
I still think that
it's still not giving me an attempt though. Like the number, like
we need. I want jump shots.
Yeah, I want the jump shots. Jump shots. So yeah. Right now, I'm gonna concede to this point. But still, Ben Simmons needs to learn how to shoot.
But let's get 100%. Back to it. Who's the best player in the NBA Giannis. Right now? You got Giannis.
It's a 3-way tie. No, that shit sound crazy as hell. But it's between Giannis, LeBron, and AD. Like, all three of those guys are extremely valuable to what they're doing for their team.
AD, but I love Giannis's mentality.
The reason
would AD
why
still have these numbers without LeBron?
Yes,
he did it. Yeah, he's.
I'm talking about to this with this yeah. level of he's done it. And all that.
Yes, with yeah. the efficiency and everything, it just. I don't know, depending on the team, if it would translate to wins.
Yeah, that's the difference.
He's yes. winning now. He's always put these numbers yeah, he's up. Put he up just crazy he hasn't won yet because the teams were never good enough to win. And once they were, when they had Boogie and they started figuring it out with the Twin Tower, what happened? Boogie went down, and you know they were left without a paddle up Schitt's Creek. But at the end of the day, those three guys to me. I can't say which one. I'll put it to you like this. I'll put Bron third in that. If I had to rank just those three, I think it's really between Giannis and AD right now.
Yeah, and AD's numbers, they're pretty consistent with what he's done.
I don't know. I really like how LeBron's playing right now, actually.
I do,
he's,
too.
He's all over the place. Like, he's shooting more.
He's giving
more.
You a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he's like, this is like he's finally, it's like what Brady was saying. Like, I finally mastered the game. Why would I quit now? Like,
I think AD helps out a lot with that.
You know what this is? This is Tom Brady and Randy Moss. The hell, you remember what Tom Brady looked like? Tom Brady was already great. But when you put Randy Moss out there, it was
that's the best weapon he's probably ever had.
And that's exactly what's happening to LeBron. Look man, we know LeBron has always been one of the best, if not the best passer in the NBA. And I always question, well, why he don't get more than 6 to 8 assists a game? Now he's almost up to 12 assists.
That's crazy. In the 17th year.
Come on, man.
Like the,
if he went, that's what I was saying. I was talking to B this weekend about it. I was like, bro, if he wins a chip, because you know he's gonna get Finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets an MVP,
well, shit, AD might get that.
They're gonna give it to LeBron because
I don't know about that.
I think they're gonna give it to LeBron. He was there first.
Who is the MVP? Oh, I'm sorry, your point.
I was saying if he wins MVP this regular season, mm-hmm. then he gets the Finals, wins the chip, mm-hmm. becomes Finals MVP in his 17th year. That may be the thing, the straw that breaks the camel's back on the GOAT conversation.
It adds to it.
How it, go, how
it adds yeah. to it, but it.
That's a strong case.
You had a couple of game winners that could help.
Three different franchises, you won a title? No one's ever done that before?
Nobody's ever done that. But here's the thing, though, with LeBron. I think he needs a streak of finals.
He does.
To catch, because we already know he's a Mount Rushmore. He's number mm-hmm. two or three, right? But to pass Jordan. He got to do like a back-to-back or a three-peat or something like that. He just – and it's unfortunate that he's had so much success that's what it's going to take for him to surpass Jordan. But it's just – Jordan 6-0.
Yeah, it is what it is. I noticed an omission by you guys.
You talking about Luka?
I'm talking about Kawhi.
Come on, man.
You got to play the game, bro.
Yeah, you can't low-manage your way into the best
so
player.
So we off that now?
Is 100.
Wait till the playoffs. He may be the
Nah.
I was gonna say he only care about being MVP in the playoffs.
He top 10. He'll be he's still a top 10 player even with the low management. But you can't be the best player low managed like this.
People were saying he was better than LeBron. That's what they were saying when he came into the start of the season.
We gotta wait to see a full season of him. Maybe he is.
Right now, I'm just saying.
Hey, I'll put it to you like this. The way we're gonna solve all of that is LA versus LA in the playoffs.
And we're gonna see which LA. I just wanna see Christmas Day. At this point, I just want to see the preview.
I feel you.
Yeah, that's all I got for NBA.
I'm trying to pull up Kawhi stats. They're good, though. Yeah. Let me see.
They good.
They're decent.
So y'all was talking about Trae Young. He mad. Like what? Like what's he saying? What's happening?
There was the team had an emotional. It was an emotional locker room after the most recent loss, mm-hmm. and he was like the one that was probably the one that was most frustrated. And
because he putting the ball in damn point,
he is. And like and like you mentioned, I think you said this in last week. Like when he's not playing, when he's hurt, it looks like a whole different. Totally different squad. And maybe that's frustrating for him because, like, damn, I gotta like that's a lot of pressure for a mm-hmm. young guy who feels like he already has a big chip on his shoulder to mm-hmm. prove himself. Let alone now have to carry the team and be like all time great just to keep us in the game.
Yep, not even to win or put us over the top, just to stay in the game. But you know what? I think that what this shows is how big John Collins is to this squad.
Yeah, they need him because they're rookies. So mm-hmm. they're playing like it and acting like it, both of them, Hunter and mm-hmm. Cam Reddish. What I found interesting about their articles, they said, we're going to get you some more help. Where? What does that mean?
Coaching? Well, no. So, and I talked about this last week, but you know the Hawks have Chandler Parsons' contract. It's a $25 million expiring contract. So I know that they're interested in possibly getting Andre Drummond onto the squad. Mm. Now, to me, that is major help for a shooting team. You're talking about an elite offensive and defensive rebounder and rim protector for a team that likes to get up and down. That's tremendous help, especially with John Collins coming back. Because now you're talking about you have physical size, you have finishers around the rim. So that is help. I'm not saying that that's what gets them over the top or even into the playoff mix, but they should win a lot of these games that they're losing to teams that they shouldn't be losing to. Mm-hmm. And you're 100% right with Cam Reddish has been very underwhelming, but he did have a breakout game.
He did, but then he comes back and takes six shots.
Exactly. So you know, obviously a lot of rookies.
Confidence, too.
I think it's a lot of confidence. But we also saw this in Duke, though. But we saw this in Duke.
I know.
And are we going to say Coach K is, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not questioning Coach K on nothing.
But they also had RJ and Zion.
And I get that. And the Hawks have, obviously, Trae Young and I think Cam has an issue with
not being the man.
Exactly. With knowing that he has enough talent in terms of being the man, but not having that persona to be like, just give me the damn ball. Like he's like, okay, you got it. And you know, well, if I got it going, just, you know, I'm gonna be over here. Like he's not demonstrative enough. And you know, everybody's personality is different, but he just needs to find some level of consistency. He needs to figure out what it is for him to be on this squad because, DeAndre Hunter, he know what it is. He's been up and down too, but that's just rookie. Yeah. But when he's on the court, he knows where to be, when to take the shots. You know what I'm saying? Like they're gonna be all right, man. I'm not worried about them. But if we're talking about young rookies, you know who's starting to break out? Thabeu from the 76ers.
He had one good game.
One good game. Ken, and over I don't know if if this stat includes the last game that they played or it was right before the last game, but I think he's been like on a 5-game stretch where he's only missed 4 3-pointers total. And I think he was like 11 out of 15, 16, something like that. And like in a 5-6-game stretch, like, yo, like, and then we knew that he was a defensive guy. Like he's starting to find his rhythm.
Offensive
rhythm, but also just the rhythm of what his role is for the squad. Like he's playing big for them. Like he's filling a big role.
No, he is. As a role player, yes, but
we know that that's what he is.
Okay,
what
about Rui Hachimura?
Rui Hachimura.
I think he's playing fairly well.
He had a couple of good games. I don't follow Washington like that. I'm not even going to.
Yeah.
PJ Washington out of Charlotte.
I haven't been following Charlotte like that either.
Yeah, I thought you loved the NBA.
I do. But
they too young. You gotta,
you know. He watching Thabeu. He young.
I like Philly.
Why we got lead pass there?
So I can watch the Knicks lose.
All right, RJ. Oh, Fizdale.
Fizdale. Man.
So well, I heard knew it. Fizdale wanted to get fired. He was trying to get fired.
Yeah, he ain't getting no fucks no more.
Yeah, once that news conference came.
Yeah, he didn't get no care.
Yeah, he didn't give a damn.
Yeah, because like, you talking about when they were talking about they were already talking
about
behind
his back.
Yeah,
when Steve Mills and Perry had that. Yeah, at that point, I think he had already packed up his office.
Man, I don't know who I was listening to, but they were talking about Yo, Steve Mill and Scott Perry been with the Knicks for 20 years, bro.
Have they?
Nah, not Scott Perry. Scott Perry.
Or Steve Mill.
Steve Mills has been there for a long 20 time.
20 years.
He gotta go, man.
He came in in 99.
He needs to go.
He gotta go.
I'm sorry.
He gotta go.
I realized that recently, too, once Fizdale got hired, how long Steve Mills has been there.
Yeah.
Because I know Scott Perry and Fizdale have been the most recent ones. I think they got Perry when around the time they were trying to get Durant. So okay. It was like just recently.
Okay. But yeah, no, Steve Mill, he been there since 99. When I saw and heard that, I'm like, yo, look, first of all, as an owner, you got to get rid of that. Because you've been mediocre.
I was going to say, look at the coaches you switched out of, even the presidents, like Phil Jackson. Like, how the hell does Steve Mills not get a conversation? Like, that makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, and maybe Dolan is really, apparently he's really loyal to him, but he hasn't been able to draft well. Hire the right coach. He hasn't done anything well.
Outside of Kristaps, in the last 20 years.
And that was Phil Jackson.
What bright spot has New York really had?
These motherfuckers sorry as hell. What's going to do with this? He got no receivers. Ertz just dropped a wide open pass. The cornerbacks. Slayton ran right past.
Slayton about to have 200 yards.
He ran, like there were two Eagles defenders right there. He split them.
In the first half.
He split them and scored a touchdown wide open.
Slayton's got 150 yards and two touchdowns just in the first half alone. That's insane.
I was completely wrong about the Eagles. I think I picked them to win this division. I didn't know they were going to get all these injuries, and I didn't know the secondary was going to be this terrible. I don't know if that's related to injuries or not, but this is terrible.
Doug Peterson might have worn out his welcome already. He's gonna get like two years though left because of that Super Bowl.
I don't know. This is pretty bad.
That Super Bowl's pretty bad. Super Bowls last a long time.
Not in Philly. In owners. You know how Philly get down.
I understand, but Philly ain't never had one.
You know how Philly get down. They don't give a. I'm gonna try not to cuss on the show, but even though I've been saying the N-word, they don't care, man. They only care about winning. They're going to turn on him quick.
Yeah, this is the season that's going to be like, all right.
They boo Santa Claus. You know,
was it a black Santa?
Hey, even worse, it was a white Santa. So you know they really don't care. The Rockets protest was denied. I guess they looked at that shit was like, nigga, please.
Yeah.
Damn, I just said I wasn't going to say it. But I'm trying to find some because. Man, when I got to write this stuff down because
yeah,
I see stuff.
I try to write some stuff down. But
yo, Nick, I'm so Celtics just beat the Cavs, and I'm looking at like the roster. Like the Cavs just need to move on from a lot of these top end contracts, like Tristan.
That's all the remnants of LeBron. I don't know why Tristan Thompson got paid what $90 million at the time.
But here's the thing: he's worth that to a team that's competing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not worth that to a rebuilding team.
I don't think he's worth that to a team that's competing.
Okay, maybe not 90, but you got to pay
him.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. He's going to get paid.
But, yeah, for him to be one of your biggest, like...
Yeah, contracts without a superstar? Nah, hell nah.
Now that... Yeah, that you see this, FIFO? The NFL investigating the Patriots videotaping.
Yeah, I saw that.
The Bengals, though, out of every team.
Yeah, that's that. Like, how you. And then they took the Chiefs stuff, and that got lost. Something always happens in New England.
Mm-hmm.
Always. This shit is just not random. It only happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
Luggage mysteriously disappears.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's what they say.
Yeah, a knowledge production crew unknowingly violated league policy. So I think they said, yeah. That's why they put the word unknowingly. Anyway, cheaters. That's why Brady will never be the GOAT.
5 out of 6 came.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or six out of 7 or something.
I knew one of your emotional takes would take a toll.
Steven Strasburg, they gave this man $254 million to pitcher for the Nationals. $254. That is freaking insane. But back to Fizdale. Now that he's gone, or that he got the firing that he wanted, do you think they'll finally unleash RJ?
Yes, I think that was one of the biggest concerns that the upper management probably had. One was just lineup rotations and how inconsistent they were, especially when it came to like letting the young guys play. Because that's what the future's on.
Like, what are you doing?
So why is Mitchell Robinson on the bench for most, like, not even playing?
Knox don't play.
Knox don't play. and then you're inconsistent with Frank's minutes. Like, especially for Frank, because this is his last year of his rookie deal, I believe, or he was coming up on it. So, like, they need to really evaluate him, Dennis Smith. Like, you got to do a lot of things, and Fizdale was just
trying to get fired.
He was maybe trying to get fired, or maybe that he's just overrated as a coach. So,
nah, I think he was trying to get, like, because none of it made sense. It was so bad, because I was like, let me see what RJ gonna do, because I like RJ. I think he's really good, and I think he's gonna be a superstar. He has superstar potential in this league. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot. So I really wanted to see him play, and like he wasn't getting any tick.
But he has been. It's not like
he wasn't over the last since that thing came out. His minutes have been like bad.
He's just very.
It's been very inconsistent.
That was my main thing with Fizdale. Was like, what are you doing? Like, at first I thought, like I said in the chat, it was more of like if you know he rewards the guys that play hard. Like if you play hard, he's gonna let you get more minutes. But he'll take out ISO Zoe a lot, and he's supposed to be one of their up and coming guys that was
Lonzo
undrafted.
Trier.
Yeah. He was one of their undrafted guys, and they have a lot of promise, and he's not getting consistent minutes. Like, you got to see what you have as far as this young talent.
I mean, when I watched them play, I forgot who they were playing against. They looked lost. We had two players bumping into each other, running into each other. They look terrible.
There's a difference when you coach to maximize everybody's potential versus coaching for your job. Because think about it. Like, if he's not giving the youngins the time, right? Because that's the only way that they're going to get better. He's giving it to the veterans that they do have on the squad. He's trying to get more W's on the board. Mm-hmm. And then just think about what the message is from up top. Oh, this roster should be better. We should have more wins.
They should have
they
more
really
wins.
They really should.
Really though?
Yes.
Yeah. So wait, hold on.
At least
let me ask you.
They have four.
Okay, fine. But let me ask you. Were we considering that they were going to be a lottery team or a playoff team?
In the middle.
Lottery.
So then we don't know that, you know, at some point when the schedule gets the weakest or whatever, they go on a little run, they get them to like 20-some, 30. Because realistically, they were a 25 or less win ball club.
For the last 2 years, they have been.
No, but I'm saying even this year.
Well, I thought for what they have now, what the players they brought in, I was like, bro, 35 wins in the East.
They were still a little too young.
How? Because first of all, as much as I like Julius Randle hasn't shown himself to be like the number one or even a number two guy.
We knew that. Yeah, we already
right?
know that.
Like, and last year, he had a great season, mm-hmm. and he played number two, but there's no number one on this New York roster.
They
right
only paid
now.
Him because they needed to pay somebody.
Then you look at who else is on our Taj Gibson that they brought in. What is Taj Gibson going to do? So when you look at this roster, and anybody tells me to my face that they thought that they were going to win better than 30 games, you're a bold motherfucking face.
I thought for what they – because when you suck for that long and the draft capital that you get and then the vets they got in, because they got Marcus Morris from the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
That's a good pickup in my opinion. The people that they did get, Julius Randle, Taj Gibson, those are grimy guys. Bobby Portis.
But you know what, though? Those guys fit in Miami. You know why? Because they got a Jimmy Butler. A Marcus Morris, right? He's going to do exactly what he's doing in New York, but it means more to a team like Miami. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because Marcus Morris can be the difference between winning and losing for that type of organization. For New York, it makes no difference.
He's just a
body.
Yeah. I honestly think they should at least have 10 wins.
Close to 10, I think.
Okay, fine. Tomato.
I'm only asking 30 games ain't a lot that I'm asking
for.
No,
I feel you, but regardless, though, like regardless, they were going to be a lottery team.
But for me, it's not even about the wins. It's how good you look losing. And that was the issue when I watched
But they're young.
And I understand
that. And it's
going
to take them at least through All-Star game to really, for them to even, like, get their feet up under them.
So to add on to that, can you at least give the young guys 30 some minutes, 30 to 35 minutes.
But that's
minutes
also
game.
Why I said, like the message coming from up top is like, you got to win to keep your job. So you're not going to coach the same way.
I think he was coaching to get fired.
Either way, Scott Perry and Steve Mills are fucking asinine and crazy as hell if they think that this roster should be better or even in playoff contention.
No, not playoff contention.
They would at least look better. They don't even look better.
But this roster is not that good, though.
But
it's really not.
But you should see some type of again, I know I'm kind of going against my point because I legit think he was trying to get fired after that shit came out. You know how black folks are, so So I think he was like, if y'all going to get rid of me, then I'm not going to give you everything that I got because I'm going to be gone anyway. But in saying all of that, I still think that the guys, you would still see some type of impact from the coach. And I didn't see any.
And again, I think that it's extremely difficult to be a lame duck coach. I think it is.
So I guess then he was definitely trying to get the hell up out of there.
Okay. Either way, whether he was or he wasn't, this roster is not better than 25 wins.
Okay, I wouldn't disagree with that. Okay. But Pop, last one. Oh, Roquan Smith is out for the season for the Bears. Pop struggling, man.
For as great as he's been, and with this season,
we're gonna give him a pass.
I'm not saying a pass, but I mean, for what he's won 50 games for what since the year 2000.
Like Belichick,
I'm gonna go to something you said in the chat. L.A. and DeMar, they should not be out of the playoffs.
I was gonna bring that up as far as L.A. and DeMar are at least all-star talent, right? They should be better, but the fact that they haven't been, I've known what Pop has been like for longer than I've known what L.A. and DeMar, so I would be leaning towards maybe it's them than him. But I've seen him coach regular niggas
and
get to the playoffs. Like,
which is why what's going on with this team.
Exactly.
And I will start watching because they made it to the playoffs with Pop before. What's going to be the difference now? So, and that's going to be the determining factor. Is it going to be them or is it going to be Pop and the rest of these guys?
We saw it last year in the playoffs, like the way they lost, right? Pop is over here trying to call timeout, and DeMar DeRozan is in his own world trying to do whatever the hell he was trying to do, and they lost the game.
That was a seven game series.
That was a seven game series against Denver, right? So to make a long story short, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge are not San Antonio Spurs in terms of their moxie and their IQ. And I'm not saying that these are low-level IQ guys, but they don't operate at the IQ level that Pop needs them to operate at. And we saw it last year in the playoffs. And it's just it's a combination of a lot of things. Obviously, I love the point guard, DeJounte Murray. He's just getting back, right? And when you're talking about ACL, you know, he's wiry, too. So it always takes him about 2 years. That's why KP looks so messed up right now. You know what I'm saying? He's up and down. But those two guys in particular, they just need to get rid of him. I was never a LaMarcus Aldridge type of guy. I always thought he was talented, but when I kind of came off of his bandwagon completely was, you could do all of this in the regular season. You may have one or two good playoff games, but in that game six or seven where we need you, you fall short. And we know what DeMar DeRozan is in the playoffs. We know that. These guys are not San Antonio Spur caliber type of guys. And that front office needs to do whatever it is to get as much as they can in return for both of them. Yeah. Get rid of both of them.
And I'll add on, they may not be Spurs caliber type of guys, even though they made the playoffs. Maybe that was all Pop. But it also may go the other way around, too. And they'd be like, this ain't for me, and I don't want to be here. So get me out of here.
That could also be like Pop, maybe this is his time to bow out as far as that generational gap maybe has gone too far.
No, I'm talking about the mentality of...
No, I get what you're saying. I'm saying, but there's also if we want to bring it back to Pop as well, maybe this is like... It hits every coach, right?
Well, I slightly disagree because who's taking over USA Basketball? It's Pop. And Pop's taking over the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? It's Jerry Colangelo, then Pop, and that's it. Everything goes through Pop.
But that's usually a veterans type of team. You know what I'm saying? Those are usually like players that...
Not necessarily. You have a lot of young and up and coming talent that be on those teams too. It's not just all veterans. You're gonna
I know that, but I'm just saying like the main core that's the reason why people were like not really caring about this past summer with USA Basketball.
Okay, but let's look at because what they're gonna play 2022, right?
Yeah,
2020.
They're playing next year. 2020.
Right? So just think about who's actually going to play. We know Carmelo ain't going to. Don't nobody want to come.
Right?
I'm just saying. You know, I had to. You know, we had to.
He's going to be there. He's going to be there, though.
Same energy.
Spirit. we know Bron. From the veterans, Bron is probably going to be there. right?
Harden.
Okay. We know that. I'm just talking about, like, guys 12 years or more into the league, right?
Oh, okay. I mean, that's a...
Okay, so fine.
I'm talking about veterans, like,
okay, James Harden,
the Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Those are all players that I can see pop.
And then just think about the younger cats, right? Like, we know AD's going to be there if he's healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Devin Booker need to be on that mode. You need to bring Devin Booker on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just think John Morant, like, I think there's going to be a lot of youngins. Even if they don't make the senior national team, they're going to be in the pipeline for 2024.
Yeah,
it's going to be nothing but youngins. That's going to be crazy
to see. But, you know, the Spurs roster isn't that young outside of Lonnie Walker and Jontae Murray. Jontae Murray is a Spurs guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Lonnie Walker, I don't think he is.
I'm thinking about as far as what Kawhi was saying when he was exiting.
Kawhi's just a...
I'm just
he's part of this new wave.
Yeah, like this as far as the younger talent and how they think of how they like to be coached.
True, but Kawhi has proven to be a different type of dude.
Yep.
So I think he's an anomaly.
Okay.
Yep.
All
right. Yep.
Yep. So. And then just
nonetheless, Pop, you've had a phenomenal career.
You're not getting a pass, though.
You ain't. They not giving you a pass. Nah. I'll give you a pass.
Nah, man. You got LA and you got DeMar. Somebody gonna get blamed.
It's parody in the NBA. Somebody, that's what y'all asked
not
for
with
year.
Pop.
But here's the thing, okay? So let me ask you. So you don't think they're gonna make the playoffs?
Yes, or no? I do think they'll make the playoffs. Yeah.
So they make the playoffs, and that's about? It. Yeah. He just ain't gonna win 50 games.
Yeah, he may not win 50 games, and we know that DeMar and LaMarcus ain't enough. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you at least made the playoffs. That's all.
They should.
So
are they out of playoff contention right now?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, right now.
What are they, like 8 or 9 or 14?
But there's a lot of teams in the West, like, they all have, like, the same.
Yeah, like Portland. Yeah. You know, like, come on. Like, I really think Portland is going to ratchet it up a little bit. I think Dallas falls down a little bit. I don't think they can keep up this pace. Unless Luka's, you know, every fucking game, he's going to do what the hell he's been doing.
Slow down.
The Spurs are
but
one.
But I think he's going to slow.
They're 1.5 games out of the 8th spot. So.
Yeah, I think they'll get in. But.
Let me. Who's all in the playoff hunt right now?
Right now, if the playoffs ended today, mm-hmm. it's the Lakers, Clippers, Mavs, Rockets, Nugs, Jazz, Suns, Thunder, and then for the East, it's the Bucks, Celtics, Heat, Sixers, Raptors, Pacers, Nets, Magic.
Suns, Thunder, out of there, and you replace them with Portland and San Antonio.
Gotcha.
And then I think that Dallas falls down. I don't see them finishing
Dallas
third.
Dallas is 16-7. They only 4.5 out of the top.
No. I feel that. I think they're just playing out. Luka especially, obviously.
Oh, you think that slows down?
Yeah, that slows down.
It's 82. Yeah.
They're a playoff team. I'm not saying they're not a playoff team.
Four or five.
But exactly, 4 or 5 or 6. Like, they're not number 3. I don't see them maintaining that.
Yeah. All right, well, we appreciate you guys showing up to watch, man. Sorry we didn't really get a chance to get in the chat because of this setup, but we'll work on that. So my apologies there, but that's going to do it for us. Next time we out. Peace. Oh, also, let us know if you want more, man. I wish I could have said that in the upfront, but we're trying to put out more shows. It may not always be live, but we definitely want to put out more content related to sports. So if you're watching this after the live stream, drop a comment in the comment section. But that's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Guys, I'll make this quick so you can get back to your murder podcast or whatever you're listening to. I'm Drama from Group Chat, the number one podcast in the world. We make cool people smarter and smart people cooler. Seriously. Our topics range from Kim Kardashian to Jeff Bezos to Donald Trump and everything in between. If you want to be entertained and educated, check us out right now in the podcast app. Just search Group Chat. By the way, the ex-boyfriend isn't the killer. It's her best friend who is. Sorry for ruining that. But now that you have a little bit more time, give us a listen.